And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman & Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman, co-host with my son, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours, this three-hour program. It's going to be an unbelievable program. We have a very special guest tonight, Nathan Leal from The Watchman's Cry. Folks, if you are having any audio listening difficulties, I would urge everyone listening to this program to visit HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. There you will find, right within the top story, under tonight's guest, a link to the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Click on that link. That is a link to the Christians United Broadcasting Network, where we are simulcast graciously by Troy and the Christians United Broadcasting Network. You should have no audio problems from that. Now, I just want to say, Joe, it's good to have you in the studio, and I'm looking forward to a good broadcast tonight.
Yeah, me too. I talked with Nathan yesterday for a brief moment, and today for a little bit he was ready to go, and he gave me a hint as to what he was going to get into, actually a scripture. And I'm very excited to hear what he's got to say today, too. And with that, he is on the line.
Okay. Before we bring him on, though, let me just address something, okay? Because I stopped counting at 200 emails today from people complaining about the sound issues. Folks, it's not it's our problem, but it's not on our end. Our primary broadcasting platform is Blog Talk Radio. I was on the phone with the assistant director of the operations department today, who said that two things are taking place. Well, three things, actually. First of all, our program is growing. We have a lot of listeners trying to listen all at once, which is a good thing. That's how it's supposed to work. And we've grown exponentially. So that's putting a strain on the system. And we do pay for the privilege of broadcasting. That said, they are attempting to broaden the, and these terms are not technically accurate, so they're attempting to broaden the bandwidth to accommodate the incoming and outgoing traffic. So hopefully within the next 24, 48, 72 hours, this will be repaired. I know it's frustrating to each and every one of you. Believe me, you've made that frustration clear in your emails. Alternatively, we've received numerous emails of support, and want to thank you to those who have sent in your kind words, your understanding, your patience. Really appreciated each and every email like that I got today, because I'm going to tell you, folks, we're frustrated as heck. You just cannot believe the level of frustration that we feel. We know that listener fatigue sets in, and we know that it's difficult to listen to a show when the audio is bad, when it's choppy, when it's cut off, when we're playing around behind the scenes trying to fix something, and you know, it's just horrendous. That's part of it. Also, a part of it is our denial of service attacks directed at us. Because obviously the information that we're putting out, people don't want this information out. But it's a sign of growth, and it's a sign of, to me, it's a sign of that we're on the right track, because we're picking up flack over the targets. And but most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the letters or for the emails of support and understanding and patience. And stick-to-itiveness with us, because to me, For every one email like I got like that, the other 20 calling us amateurs,
Emails weren't too nice.
Yeah, and
but much more on the supportive and constructive side.
You know, I opened one email this morning from somebody who said, "Look, you know, we're sticking right there with you. We understand." And it really hit me hard to really know that there are people out there who not only are seeking the truth and but are sticking with us. And to me, that means more to me than you'll ever know. And I know that bringing in Nathan Liel from The Watchman's Cry today, he's a guy that goes after the truth and is a man of God and wants to, you know, he wants to witness to or provide information to people about what he sees, what's coming up in the prophecies and the visions and how everything all fits together. Because, folks, we're in some uncharted waters today. And I got to tell you, I am dog tired. And I know a lot of you people out there are just dog tired. You don't have to stay up, you know, all night like I've done and we've done. And you don't have to put yourself or immerse yourself into the headlines or into the news articles. You just have to turn on the television or read the newspaper or check the internet news, and that'll just knock you over like a set of bowling pins. I mean, wow, it's crazy out there. So we understand that level of fatigue and how you can it can be physically manifest in each and every one of us. And what we're trying to do, and I think I can speak for a little bit for my guest on this issue, is knowledge and divine knowledge and the combined with divine information should replace fear and should reinforce you. And our guest is a man of God. He's a man of honor and integrity. And I've looked at his website, The Watchman's Cry. It's linked off of HomelandSecurityUS.com. He's a guy that I have a lot of admiration for. He sticks his neck out on the line, comes on, and tells it like it is. And we need to listen to people like this because we need to know what to expect. So when things do start happening, we're not taken by surprise. Joe, I didn't mean to monopolize your time and the guest time, but I just had to get that off my chest.
Okay. No, and we definitely, everybody who was listening last night knows how the sound is and the sound problems were, and we appreciate you for you tuning in tonight. And we do have with us Nathan Liel. Mr. Liel, can you hear us?
I can hear you. How am I coming in?
Excellent.
That's
good.
Beautiful.
Loud and clear.
It's, you know, it's great to talk to you, Nathan. It really is. It's you've got a tremendous website at thewatchmanscry.com. Boy, I'll tell you, let's get right into it, man. I remember the phone call. Folks, this was a great story. After the show one night, I believe it was April 24th, received a phone call from Nathan. He said, "Look, I've got something heavy on my heart, a few things heavy on my heart. I just want to share some things with you." And, of course, Nathan always has an open invitation to come on the air and to share, to spread the information that he's got. But I got to tell you, it just really bowled me over with what he had to say, and he's going to go through what he shared with me that night. Nathan, boy, you've got the floor.
Well, thank
go
you,
ahead and
gentlemen.
Just start where you think.
Okay, I just want to first of all say thank you, gentlemen, and indeed, it is very challenging right now, Mr. Doug and Joe. The powers that be do not want the information that you guys are sharing on your program to go out. And it's real interesting, during the middle of the chaos when the Boston bombing was happening, you remember when they said things are going down in Boston and they were chasing the two brothers? I was on top of that thing, and I was up most of the night watching it and trying to follow and discern. And the entire time I was watching that, oh, man, did it stink to high heaven, Doug? And then the next day, I continued my research, and I was downloading images and trying to offer my own discernment, praying, asking God. And it was real interesting that as I would download images, my computer crashed twice in a row. Blue screen, brand new computer, crashed, and then my email went kaput, and I had to reinstall certain things. So there's a cyber war going on for the truth or against the truth right now. So indeed, the enemy doesn't want this message going out, does he?
Not at
all.
Did
you notice that, Doug?
No. You know what, Nathan, I have it on good authority, and this comes, and I believe I announced this 2 days ago, perhaps, that I can't be very specific on this. I'll just say this. There is an organized campaign to marginalize the people who are analyzing images and talking about the Boston Marathon bombing on forums and on their own websites, and they are also seeding misinformation into what would appear to be legitimate news stories. They're changing the facts. So if you've got documents and pictures and photographs that you downloaded initially, hang on to those and compare them to what you might see today or receive in an email, because there is this campaign to marginalize the entirety of those people who know that there's something wrong with this bombing and are reporting on it, only to say in the end, Nathan, that we're all kooks and we're reading into it, kind of throwing a baby out with the bathwater. So you are a prime example. You are Exhibit A in the front lines on this issue, the Boston bombing, actually.
Indeed. And today we're going to touch part of that. I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this at the very start, out of the gate, that today's program is going to be very, very important. I would consider the information I'm going to share here to be something that they all need to know about. If people consider themselves part of the awake group or the remnant or the Christians that want to have discernment, those that want to learn and move forward, we can't know without the proper information. And today I'm going to share some information, and I want to ask the listeners to please listen in its entirety. Please digest the information I'm going to share. Please ponder it. Let it incubate. And then pray about it and ask God if it bears witness. Because today's content is very important to know. By the way, Doug, since you brought up that possibly there could be some audio problems, I am intending to record much of the same information that we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm also going to put it up on my website. It will be another News from the Wall program, probably number 15, I think, so that the people can also download it. It's going to be the same information just in case they're not able to hear everything. So, listener,
beautiful.
You can find that. Yeah, you can find that at my website, watchmanscry.com, in a few days. Keep checking back, or you can subscribe, and I will send you the notice when it comes out. Now, Doug, should I introduce myself, or do your listeners already know what I do, or what do you think?
Well, you know what, Nathan, why don't you take a moment and tell the we're gaining listeners internationally just about every day. As a matter of fact, you've got some people just outside of Rome, Italy, listening right now. We have some people in France that are listening right now. We also have some new listeners here in North America. So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll start right there. We'll go ahead and we'll do it that way.
Okay. Okay. Watchman's Cry has been around for a number of years now, many years now, and I am one voice among others that God has out there. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I've been saved, and God has forgiven me with his blood. So first off, right out of the gate, I'm a Christian, and I'm also a minister. I'm a preacher. I believe in the Word of God. I believe that there is no error in it, and I believe that what we can read in the Bible as far as end-time prophecy is true, and we are going to watch it come to pass. Now, one of the challenges in end-time prophecy is figuring out the correct interpretation, but that's just part of the journey. We're all on that journey, and we make adjustments, but I consider myself a student of prophecy, so I'm a voice among others. Also, I believe that God is a supernatural God. He does miracles, and in these last days, he is doing something that is very incredible. God is showing people from all walks of life, young, old, young men, old men, elderly ladies, young handmaidens, all over the age, the gamut of ages, God is showing people glimpses supernaturally in prophetic dreams, and people all over the world are seeing glimpses. They're having dreams of some very dire events that are coming to this planet. So when I share some of the dreams that God has given me, I believe, first of all, that this is a thing from God. It's supernatural. It's divine. And I am not saying that every dream is from Him. Dreams from God are a very unique thing. They do not happen all the time. And as end-time Christians, the thing to do is to learn, because this is a learning process, whether a dream that we had is from Him or not. But in the ministry that I do, God has given me probably between 50 to 100 dreams in the last 5 to 7 years of things that are going to come. And each time that I have one, I hold on to them for a few days, a few weeks, sometimes a few months. Sometimes I do not release them, and I pray. I ask God if it was from Him. I get counsel to find out if it was from Him. And then I share it. And I want to just make this real clear, Mr. Doug and Joe. I am not the only one this is happening to. This is happening worldwide. You can go on YouTube and type in a dream of the end times or prophetic dream or just those, using those words, thousands of them will come up. So it's not just me happening that this is happening with. And I'm sharing that to qualify that if I'm crazy, Doug, because if God's showing me glimpses, then I guess there's thousands and thousands of people that are all going crazy all of a sudden that are seeing things that are already starting to happen or they will happen, and they're actually coming true. So, listener, if possibly you've encountered this phenomenon, you're a Christian, and you want to know if you're nuts because you shared it with some friends or family or maybe a spiritual leader and they tell you you're crazy, it's not God. If God tells you that it's real and you know that you know it's from Him, then it's from Him. And real quick, Doug, let me just give the 10-second or 15-second confirmation of what a prophetic dream is like. First of all, when you get a dream from God, it's very, very vivid. It's in surround sound. You can see the colors. You can smell the flowers. The sounds are very, it's like being in a theater. It's vivid, and when I say vivid, it's very clear, and when you wake up, you do not forget it. Most dreams that are not from God, when you wake up, by the time you're eating Captain Crunch cereal, it's already fading, and you know what I'm talking about, right? And you try to remember what your dream was, and it goes away, and that's how most dreams are. They're when they're not from God. But when it is from God, you will remember it at the end of the day. You'll remember it the next day, a week later, a month later, a year later, just like if you had it the day before or the night before. So that's one of the sure signs that it's from God. It's very vivid, and you do not forget it. The other thing is there's just a witness inside your spirit. You know that you know that you know that God was trying to say something. Now, most prophetic dreams that come are not only to show us doom events when they happen. Many times God will give us dreams to correct us. If some of us are maybe about to make a wrong choice or a wrong decision, God will give us a dream to show us that we're headed the wrong way, or even if we're in error, or if someone's possibly playing around with their salvation or their relationship with God, God will show them a dream to chastise them and correct them. So many times the dreams are instructional. Sometimes they're to show us God's will, the future steps we need to take. For example, Mary and Joseph, God gave Joseph a dream to go to Egypt, and then after he was there a while, God gave him a new dream to come back to Judah, and then God gave him a third dream on where to settle in Nazareth. So God gives instructional dreams. I'm sharing this because there are people out there, Doug, that are enemies of the warning message that you share and the guests that you have come on, and they get on the internet and they make blogs and they get on forums and they blaspheme the gifts of the Holy Spirit and say that it's not real. And shame on them. Shame on those people that want to say that God is not able to do this. He's not a supernatural God. This thing isn't happening. When it tells us in the scriptures, in the book of Joel chapter 2, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Your sons, daughters, young men, old men, the handmaidens, the servants of God are going to dream dreams, have visions, etc. So this phenomenon is from God. It's a gift, And if anyone, listeners, listen to me. If anyone wants to listen to the guests that Mr. Doug Hagman has on his program, or you listen to my programs, or Steve Quayle, or Henry Gruber, or any of the other guys out there that are sharing prophetic dreams, and you want to poo-poo it and talk about how it's a fraud and the people are a fraud, shame on you. And Doug, it says, it's very clear in the scriptures, God allows prophetic dreams to warn the people so that they can have a chance to get ready. But most of the time, they will mock it, they will scoff it, they will discount it, and because they do it, here's the end result. And this can be found in 2 Chronicles, the very last chapter. There will be no remedy for them. So God's trying to warn us right now that America is going down the drain. America is on the ropes. America's being taken apart systematically. Many things are coming to America, and God wants to warn his people so they can get ready spiritually, so that they can get right spiritually, so that they can overcome their problems with sin that they're happening. If listeners out there are committing adultery or having affairs, and you're listening to this program, when these events start coming, the odds are going to be lower for you to be able to endure. Because if we are not trying our best to live in God's forgiveness and in repentance, Doug, they're going to be a statistic. So Satan wants people to die. He wants people to fail. He wants people to not succeed. So he raises up these scoffers and these mockers who want to discount the prophetic warning. And I know that they're out there. Doug, you know what's interesting? From Canada, the nation above us that possibly is not experiencing the judgment to the extent that we are yet, but they will eventually. I have noticed over the last few years, I get probably the highest ratio of mocking and scoffing from people from Canada. It's incredible. From the east side of Canada to the west, yes. They say, God's not doing that. God's not going to judge America. You're making it up. Well, you know what, Mr. Canadians, if you happen to be listening to this, God have mercy on you, because, Doug, this thing is going down so quick right now. And I'm going to share some things today, and here's the bottom line is this. It's not a matter of our opinion, our interpretation, our negotiation, or our false desire to deny and live in Pretendville. It doesn't matter if we don't want to listen to the warning message. It's not going to be stopped. The warning happens because the events are coming. And whether or not people want to believe it, it doesn't matter. They're going to still occur. So what does that mean? That means that truth exists. There is truth and there's lies. So, Doug, when you share the warnings that you bring, you're either telling the truth or you're lying. When you have a guest come on and they're taking a chance with their life, with their reputation, with their family, with their health, with their living, all of those things, they have the guts to come forth and be brave enough to try to warn, because they have compassion, they feel the need, they care. That's why they come in your program. That's why I exist as a minister, to warn. So we're taking the chance, and if people don't want to believe it, then that's fine. But we're either telling the truth or we're telling lies. And, Doug, the reward for getting on your programs or making these blog radio programs and lying is not worth the punishment if we were going to be liars. So, listener, the bottom line is we need to find the truth. All Christians must find the truth, because the Bible tells us in the last days. It tells us in Revelation. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 when he talks about the coming tribulation time. In the last days, there would be deceivers out there. A great delusion will come over the earth, meaning that's the opposite of truth. So, listener, now when you listen, you hear these type of warning message, what you're going to need to decide is, are you part of the delusion crowd and you're just listening to your own delusion and you're pretending it's not real, or are you seeking the truth? And Doug and Joe, thank God that you guys are bringing forth the truth. You're seeking after the truth. Now, sometimes we might get some intel that we're not sure about. Sometimes it might be a rumor, but we still bring the warning, because just in case, it's like a tornado warning or a hurricane warning, just in case. It's smarter to take the matter at hand and consider it. So the message that I have right now is about truth. So the question is, what is truth? Listener, what is truth? Is truth your opinion? Is truth what really happened? or did not happen is truth, what the media is telling us? Do we just get on here and just talk, or do we want to share the truth? And knowing the truth means every one of us, if we want to know the truth, in order to get there, it means that we went on a journey to arrive at the truth. And to go on that journey takes an effort, and it takes a desire. It takes a willingness to accept the information and the conclusion, no matter what the conclusion is. And it takes a willingness to face it, no matter what we find. So how many people are willing to go on this journey, Doug, in these last days? Most people would rather pretend and stick their head in the sand. So listeners, let me ask you this. Do you want the truth, or do you just want to be entertained? And I want to give this warning also, a caveat. Whenever a person hears the truth, it does something to them. You remember that movie with Jack Nicholson, Doug, You Can't Handle the Truth? How true is that, right? How accurate is that? You can't handle, but that's human nature. So when someone does hear the truth, it does something to them. Here's what it does. For some of them, it scares them. Some of them, it makes them run away. Some of them, it makes them resort to silly antics from childhood. You know, Doug, I have three children, and it seems that all children will do this as they're growing up. When they're at the three-year-old stage, maybe four-year-old stage, they think that if they close their eyes, you can't see them. You remember that? You remember when Joe used to do that when he was little?
Nathan, he still does it to me.
Okay. He still does it. Well, they close their eyes and they think that it will go away. And closing our eyes to the truth does not make reality go away. And also closing our eyes to the truth doesn't mean that we're invisible. So living in denial serves no useful purpose, because the residents of Pretendville, USA are doing no favors for themselves. And here's the part that we need to all realize. They're not doing any favors for themselves or their families. And Doug, I have a family, and I don't want to pretend and just take the chance and take the risk. For those that want to pretend, they are taking a huge million-dollar risk for the livelihoods, the life, the protection, the safety of their families. And the only way that we're going to protect our families, first of all, if you're a parent, dad, if you're listening, the events that are coming on this planet, number one, you need to know the truth. You need to be aware of the truth. And then you need to do your part to make sure that your family's protected. That means you have homework, spiritual homework, as the father. Because God set up the family unit in a hierarchy status. He placed the man as the priest over the house, and then you have the mother, and then the children. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked, Doug, with that statement I made, but isn't it amazing in these last days, in this tolerant society where man has been castrated, it's in some circles, even among Christian circles, it's almost taboo to say the man's supposed to be the spiritual head, because the new movement of feminism and feminazism has flip-flopped the family unit and turned it upside down, where you have the women wearing the pants and the men wearing the skirts, and the house is in chaos and the kids are confused, and homosexuality is now the accepted norm, and you have these men that don't know how to be men, and that's one reason we're in a mess right now, ladies and gentlemen. So that's a side note. It's one of my soapboxes, but I'm not going to play around with that thing. Feminism has been one of the social experiments over America that has proven itself to be a colossal failure. And in the book of Isaiah, it even says, one of the curses over a nation when God judges them is that children and women will rule. So I'm stating that. Doug, how many people just turned off the channel just now when I said that? Well, you know what? That's the truth. Satan wants to turn everything around and make God into a girl and make the men into women. But you know what? The truth is the truth. That's another part of the truth. So men, be the man. Take off the skirt. Be the man of your households. Get your spiritual life in order, be the priest of your house, and quit playing around, quit goofing off to the point where your wife thinks she has to be the spiritual head because you're being flaky. Doug, the hour is so late, we can't beat around with this thing. We can't play around with what time it is and how serious this thing is. So the residents of Pretendville are doing no favors or to their family when they pretend. We must desire to know the truth. Now, I know it is not easy hearing the truth. What I just said right now, Doug, is the truth. When I talk about the hierarchy of a family. But for some people listening right now, they're mad. Their polls got stepped on. They don't like it. Sorry, go ahead.
No. You know what, Nathan? Joe and I seem to definitely do a good job of offending a lot of people that live in that realm of Pretendville, or the upside down realm, where the wife is the practical and spiritual head of the family, because the male has been neutered, and we see this on television, you know, through the television programming and such. And I know you didn't want to get off on the side note on this, but I think it's really important, and I think it's important because we know how, and we're watching how this Obama regime, for example, is actually cultivating this society of madness, where you know, the acceptance, or not only the acceptance, but the promotion of homosexuality, the congratulatory messages to the people coming out and you know, categorizing them or describing them as brave and such.
And we see on the other side, the ESPN, that one example where the basketball player came out, ESPN and analysis commented and said that is an open rebellion against God and sin as it's spelled out in the Bible. And he talked about all sexual sins and any kind of sin also being just as bad, yet we see them apologizing for that openness,
right,
and that truth.
Yeah, so, you know, Nathan, thank you for bringing that up, because I think it's so important that people have to realize this. We have to, you know, we've got to put on our big boy pants now, don't we? I mean, it's time for this now, to really get serious, and if we haven't been up to this point. We have new people waking up all the time and seeking the truth. That's why our program is growing the way it is, because people know there's something wrong, and they're looking for people like you to guide them and tell them what's going on. So we'll let you continue right along.
All right, thanks. And I did not want to get sidetracked, but it's amazing. You go to Drudge Report every day, and you see these other progressive, as you stated, congratulatory. I don't even have the words for it, Doug, where Obama calls up an NBA star to congratulate them for going against the way that God made them. That shows another indication right there of how this country is done. Stick a fork in America. We are done. When we look at history and we see when the moral decay overwhelmed and overcame the lifestyles of everyone and the culture accepted it, that empire failed. That kingdom failed. That nation failed. They went off into the sunset, and we are seeing it happen once again, because eventually God judges. When Dimitri Judiman saw the destruction of America, God made a phrase. He said, look at California, there's Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Las Vegas, there's Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Florida, there's Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, yes, for several reasons, and there's a list of them, but one of the primary ones was what we're talking about right here. So anyway, moving on. Listeners, please know this. The truth is the thing that's going to set us free. And the truth is the only thing that's going to open our eyes. It's the only thing that can awaken us, and it's the only thing that can give us hope. And that's the other thing I was going to say. When we are faced with the truth, then we're also faced with the challenge to deal with the truth. Because when we find the truth, Doug and Joe, that requires that we examine the whole truth and not the partial truth. It requires viewing the complete picture. Now, aside from just looking in the mirror at ourselves, when we're looking at the truth of events that are happening in the world, it means that we have to understand the canvas of the events happening, and we can't just look at them in the natural. To see the events happening in America right now only through one dimension is not going to give us the entire truth. And the way that we could do that and fail is to only look at the canvas in two dimensions, because the real canvas of events happening right now are not limited to the width times the height. The canvas also has depth. It has length, it has breadth, it has a backside, it has layers, it has a top, it has a bottom. It has many dimensions and many perspectives, and it's not based just on subjective opinion, and it doesn't pretend. It is what it is. It's not based on an interpretation or negotiation, as I said earlier. The truth is the truth, good or bad, black or white. It is true. And guess what, folks? The truth is not tolerance. The truth offends. The truth does not care how rich or how poor a person is. The truth is reality. So here's the reality. Now, Doug, I'm going to show the reality. Here it is right here. May I show the truth?
Oh, please. Please do.
Okay, here it is.
We need to hear
listeners. Okay. Number one, there is a God who exists, who made all of creation, who made you, who made me. Number two, Jesus is real. He came and he died on the cross. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a nice guy. He was God in the flesh. He came and he died on the cross. I want to say that just first off. For those that are out there that don't believe in God and want to just scoff and mock, well then, let's just at least know what side we're on. Those are the two things I needed to say. Number three, there is a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. Bad choices have consequences. Here's another one. Mankind is going to reap what he sows. There is a devil who hates us. There's a devil who hates you, listener. Doug and Joe, there's a devil who hates you. And there are enemy evil spirits out there in the world who hate your soul and want to destroy you. There are also enemies of America that are evil spirits, that are devils, that are fallen angels, and that are humans. They hate America. Here's another truth. The left and right political paradigm is a lie. The Democrats versus Republicans is a lie. It is all theater. So those are some disturbing elements of truth that I had to just lay on the table at the beginning. But here's another truth. And this is the part that people do not want to hear, or they forget when they're trying to consider or discuss the problems that are happening with America right now with Obama. They forget this part of the truth, or maybe they don't want to think about it, or perhaps they don't even want to consider it. But this is it. America is presently under divine judgment right now, as I speak. And this judgment is going to get worse. In fact, tonight we're going to go into it. I'm going to share some things that are going to come to America. It's going to get a lot, lot worse, gentlemen. And also, other nations are also under divine judgment in this same season. In Europe, God's judgment's hitting them, and in Australia and Canada. And I don't speak for those nations. I speak for America, but they are also feeling it as well. So this means Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, and then, of course, our friends to the north and the south. And I know that Canada is a few years behind us, but eventually Canada, you're going to get your appointment too. No one's going to get immune to this thing. No one will be immune. So, Doug, I have seen some of the things that are coming, and I call them prophetic visions or prophetic glimpses. Some people call them visions. But what does this mean? It means that these things, as God is allowing them to come to the earth, he wants to first warn. So he lets some of his servants, some of his messengers, some of the people that he raises up see these things, and then he tells them, I want you to go warn everybody. Warn as many people as you can, however you can do it. So now in our high-tech world, we have the internet, we have radio shows, we can do it that way. So we can warn. And then after the warning happens, then the events arrive. The weather shows up, the hurricane, the storm, the bad weather does arrive. And as I stated in the book of Joel chapter 2, it says in the last days, my spirit's going to be poured out, and then mentions the dreams. But in Joel 2, verse 30, after verse 29, verse 30 says something. And it says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Now, a lot of people forget that part, but the wonders in the heavens, in the sky, that's talking about earth changes, and it's talking about events that are going to happen on earth. Fire, pillars of smoke, those things are going to happen through events happening on earth, whether they be caused by natural things like volcanoes or eruptions or earthquakes, or if they're going to be caused by friends coming in from outer space, and I say friends a little sarcastically, or they're going to be caused by man causing the problems and lighting the fuse himself. But these things are going to happen in the last days. So as I said, judgment is here. So Now that I did that introduction, my long introduction, Doug, let me say this. Judgment is coming, so listeners, please know that our existence is not, again, limited to the physical plane, to the physical dimensions, because there are so many people that are awake, and Doug and Joe, they listen to your program, they hear my program, they're preppers. And God bless you, listener, if you're a prepper. You know what time it is, but so many people forget the part of reality that the perspective it exceeds the physical. That's the portion of reality that we need to also keep in mind if we want to have the complete picture of the truth. That means that the spiritual dimension matters. The spiritual. What's the spiritual? That's the invisible world. That's the unseen world, the celestial world where angels dwell, where you have fallen angels, where spirits dwell. Now, that world is invisible to us. It's invisible to humans, but that's where God dwells in. It's the dimension where eventually all of us are going to end up. When we do, every listener right now is eventually going to end up in the spiritual world, Doug. Every one of them, including you and Joe and myself. We're going to end up in the spiritual world. When we get there, here's another piece of truth and reality. When we get to the spiritual world, eventually, whether it's because we died or because God comes and resurrects everybody and our bodies change, however we get there, an assessment is going to be made about every one of us, one by one. And the assessment is going to be conducted by God because he's the judge. And the assessment is going to reveal the truth about us. It's going to reveal the truth about you, Doug, about Joe, about the listener you had last night, about the president, our friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Everyone gets assessed. And the spiritual assessment is going to reveal whether or not we had the right priority in this life. So today, I'm going to talk about all of these things. And the events that are coming in our physical dimension in the near term are going to affect our lives. And as the judgment continues, we're going to see events that are going to be before our very eyes. We're going to read about them on the internet. We're going to talk about them on my program, on your program. They're going to play out in the physical realm, and they're going to play out in the spiritual realm. And these things that are coming are going to be pivotal events. They're going to be major events. They're going to be things that every one of us needs to know about. And here's the part that can get spooky, and this is where we lose some of our audience, Doug. When we tell them, these events are coming, and you're going to play a role in it. You get to participate, and you don't have a choice. And the participation of every person is going to have an outcome. There will be a post-outcome. There will be a post-assessment. And the outcome always has an assessment in this life. And the part that's disturbing, Doug, and we're going to go into this later, is that at times, the outcome ends up with a statistic about us. Because some of us are going to endure, or some of us are going to end up as a statistic, meaning we didn't make it, meaning we didn't live through it.
Right.
Let
me ask you a question here. It's always been my belief that God put us right where we're at, right here today, at this time in history, in our wherever we're listening to this from, whether it's in the United States or elsewhere. But we were born for this moment in time, and we have a certain job to do, a position to play, a zone to protect. Is that your belief?
Exactly. That's God's will, God's plan, God's path, indeed. Psalms 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads us in the path. So indeed, and that's, and you know what, Doug? We can actually look at that as an encouraging way, because if the events of doom, if I may use that term, quote unquote, are going to be overwhelming before our eyes, that means that God knew we were going to be alive to see those things, and that also means that God wired us to be able to endure those things. He has the tools available for every listener to get a hold of so that they can endure. The challenge is finding those tools, finding the strength, finding the mental ability to face it. So that means that we have homework. The homework of knowing that doom's coming does not entail just logging in and hearing your program. That's not the only homework. The homework is getting ourselves spiritually and mentally ready and getting those tools that God has available for all of us. And some of those tools are, you know, there are some people, Doug, I really believe that when the events first start, they may find themselves overwhelmed and they won't think they'll be able to face it. Maybe they'll be facing depression and sadness and lament. But deep, deep down inside, by going through the events that are coming, they're going to discover something about themselves that they never knew was way deep down in there. They're going to discover that God is actually real, that God can strengthen, that God can restore, He can renew, and He can bring us the tools that we need to be able to weather this. When I share this message, the purpose is not just to scare people. The purpose is to let listeners, and I, if I'm not presenting it in a correct fashion, please forgive me, but my purpose is to share, and Doug, thank you for bringing that up, that we were born for such a time as this, and God can help us to endure. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, meaning that they did it. But the sad part is a lot of people will not overcome because they will not get a hold of the right tools. That's why we're talking right now, so that people can have the foreknowledge to know that it's time to put aside the regular lifestyle that we tolerated in ourselves. You know, 10, 20 years ago, the Christianity that we tolerated in ourselves during Ronald Reagan, I like to say the Ronald Reagan-type Christianity, where we were just basically flaky. You remember that, Doug? You know, we didn't take it seriously. You go to church, sure. You show up, you do your 1.5 hours of duty, but it didn't matter as much back then because the times were not as perilous back then. It was a prosperous time. But we're not there anymore. Now, we're coming to the end of the chapter. Things are different. So, there's a lot of homework. So, listener, there is hope for you. And I know that I'm coming and I'm hard-hitting right now, but time's running out. Doug, when the house is on fire, you can't do it with you cannot warn with a whisper. You have to warn with a shout. So, will people be able to handle the truth and face these things? Whether or not they can, that doesn't mean we get to dismiss it.
Well, that's right. I just want to, if I may, I just want to say this in Psalm 27, verse 1. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I think that even amid all of this talk of the coming apocalyptic events, which we know are coming, and the judgment that's upon us, I think that we can turn to our instruction manual. You know, we were actually given an instruction manual, that's the Bible, and refer to that for our strength. You know, a wise man, a good friend of mine told me that wisdom is the ability to view current events and anticipate the outcome from them. And I think that's what we're doing by having you on and you sharing this information. I think, but you know, amid all of this, we're walking hand in hand with God. So we do have that protective shield, if you will. And I'm not a great orator, so I might be not explaining myself right or articulating it correctly. But I think that as we view these judgments and the upcoming things that we're going to endure, we also have to take relief or find relief in the Word of God as well. So it's kind of a two-way street. I'm not sure, Nathan, if I said that properly, but you know what I mean.
I do. And as we hear these things, as we discuss these things, listener, please ponder them. Again, are some going to doubt? Yeah, they will. They always have. Will some dismiss it? Possibly some, but are some going to believe? And those are the ones that God is after. And only those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will believe and have their eyes open. And listen, I want to challenge this. If you struggle with this information that you hear, pray and ask God to open your eyes. Ask Him, tell Him, God, if this warning message that I'm hearing from these gentlemen is true, show me in my heart that it's true. Because right now I'm having a hard time with it. And if you ask Him to show you, He will. But first we have to be willing to accept the truth. So ponder it. Take notes on what I'm going to pray, what I'm going to share, and then pray and ask God. But the bottom line is every one of us are going to have an appointment, and in the arriving judgment, every person on earth is either going to endure or not. That's the bottom line. And that means, now, for the person that lives alone, they might hear that and say, well, I don't care. If I don't make it, big deal. But for the person that has family members, children, when we think of it in this way, fathers, and if there's not a father in the house and it's you, Mom, and you're the leader of the house, if you want your kids to make it, that means that there's some homework that Mom and Dad need to be doing right now by asking God to protect their families, by asking God to open the eyes of their children, if they're teenagers, if their kids are in rebellion. You need to be praying for your kids. There's a lot of homework to do right now, and I've been sharing this more and more on my programs, Doug. I know that there are parents out there that struggle with teenage kids or young married kids, and possibly some of their children are bitter toward their parents because the parents made mistakes. And as parents, maybe, as I was saying, when we were in that Ronald Reagan Christian era in the 80s, we weren't taking it as seriously. We made mistakes, and we were bad examples for our kids. So now our kids are really not taking it seriously, and we want them to, but then they throw it in your face. Well, what about you, Mom and Dad? And Mom and Dad, the remedy for that is not just to ignore it and to get mad or to just pretend that they didn't say it or not to even deal with it. The remedy for that is to humble yourself and talk to your kids and repent to them and tell them, you know what, I didn't get a manual to raise you when you were a teenager, or I didn't know how to be a parent, I made mistakes, and I'm trying to make it right. Please forgive me. Doug, we have to come to the place where we're apologizing and reconciling with family members, with friends, because this thing's going to be so serious. But if by not reconciling with our children, it's going to cause a breach in our protection around our family because our children are misunderstanding reality, then we need to deal with it. So, listener, I just want to throw that out. Deal with your relationships. We cannot take the chance on that because it's not just going to be a free ride. It's not autopilot going through this thing. It's not just going to be chance or fate. Your outcome is going to be determined by what you do now beforehand. That means right now. And also,
that was a good foundation.
I need to say this, Doug, because I know there's a tendency for people to place their trust in their own strength and in their own accomplishments. Or let me even go deeper. Sometimes people place their trust. They're hearing what I'm saying, and they're saying, well, if that's good enough for some of those listeners Nathan's talking to, the spiritual thing, I'm not really into that as much. And, I don't think I'm a pretty good guy. And in fact, I know people. I know stuff. I have connections. But here's the situation. The outcome is not based on connections for man. It's not based on our resume. Listener, if you have fancy credentials that would wow the crowd because you went to that good college, that Ivy League school, you have that fame, you have that fancy degree, or you have political connections, that's not going to save you. Also, if you happen to be rich and famous, so what? You know what? In the eyes of eternity, Doug, let us give a little bit of summary of some other rich and famous people. Where's Elvis right now? He's dead. Where's Michael Jackson? Where's Margaret Thatcher? Where's Princess Di? Fame does not save, and neither do riches. One of the richest men in the world, Steve Jobs, where's he? Did his fame save him from the cancer? I'm throwing this out, Doug, because there are some people that trust in their fame or their guns or their bullets or their prepping stuff, their inventory, and they want to put spiritual preparation at the very bottom of the list. And if someone thinks that that's going to save them, they're going to be part of the statistics that I'm talking about. Because the prophecies do say that many, in fact, the majority of people are going to fall. Only a small, minute portion are not going to fall and are going to endure. Small, minute portion. What's the word for that? That's the leftovers, the remnant. the ones that, that little, tiny little group that managed to do the right thing. They managed to be at the right place at the right time. How did they do that? It's because God was leading them. They were staying one or two steps ahead of the events because God led them. And they were trusting in God the entire time. They're going to be able to testify that they were saved or their children were saved by circumstances that defy logic. And they're going to be able to testify that they were saved by circumstances that the only way that you can summarize them is that it was supernatural. They were miracles. And the only way that we're going to get to that place is to do the spiritual homework right now, Doug. And that's why I'm laying down the foundation of all of that. Now, see, the first hour is almost done. In the second and third hour, gentlemen, I called you up, I think it was a week and a half ago, Doug, and I shared my concern because God had revealed some things to me about the Boston bombing. The Boston bombing is one of the phases of the takedown of America, and the Boston bombing was a prophetic sign. And in the on the other second hour, I'm going to go into that, but it's a prophetic sign that I'm going to show some scriptures. Doug, I believe that I have found some more scriptures that are giving us more of the outline of things that are coming to America. I didn't share that with you on the phone. I believe I told Joe where it's found, but I'm going to share some scriptures tonight, and I want the listeners to take notice because by knowing this information, it lets us be one or two steps ahead. But the things that I'm going to share tonight are going to sound very, very gloomy and doomy, and for some, it's going to be pretty overwhelming and scary. So I'm saying that right up front, that, and I'm going to explain why the Boston bombing was part of the chain of events and then what we need to do about it. I also had three prophetic dreams that I want to share of events that are coming, of another terrorist attack or a false flag attack, and I'm going to share another prophetic dream on the Civil War that's coming. So I have all of that to share. How are we doing with the time right now? You want to keep going?
We have a few minutes until break, but we can go to break. We are listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report with our very special guest, Nathan Liao. His website, go to watchmanscry.com. I'll post that in the chat room. He has all kinds of audio archives from long ago to right up until now in the Boston bombings, explaining a lot of what he's talking about and what he will talk about is new. And he gave me a little insight into where to find the scriptures, and it's going to be interesting. And Nathan, you said it exactly right. People prepare in a way that they leave the spiritual till last. A lot of people do, thinking that that can be something that can be taken care of in the last minutes, or they'll always have time to get to it, that nothing will ever happen to them. And that is a huge problem in the Christian church. And I'm glad you talked about that. And hopefully we can hit that more on the other side. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. We'll be right back with our guests after these short messages. Stay with us.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com, 866-404-3663.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Thursday edition of the Hagman Report, hour number two. We are live, April 2nd, 2013. Our very special guest, Mr. Nathan Leal, the WatchmanScribe.com. By the way, folks, you can get that. There's a link right to Nathan's website off of HomelandSecurityUS.com, which is our home base. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's our home base. I want to thank those people joining us now for the second hour, new listeners. I've heard some from some people in Utah, from Pueblo, Colorado, and also from Kansas City, Missouri. I want to welcome you to the program tonight. Our very special guest is Mr. Nathan Leal. And with that, and our first hour went fast, but it was a very important hour to set the foundation for now what Nathan's going to be talking about. Starting out, I believe, with the Boston bombing, and I've got to tell you, folks, when Mr. Leal called me, and when we had this conversation on the phone, you've got, everyone has this voice inside of them, this spiritual discernment, and as he was talking to me, I just felt this nudging, this prodding, this moving and saying, you know, you've got to listen to what this man is saying, because there's relevancy here. Because Joe and I are dealing with the practical investigative aspects of the Boston bombing, and we know, we can see the intentional the intentional deception involved with this. Heck, we can't get straight answers on anything from Benghazi to Boston to, well, go back to the JFK assassination, to the Gulf and Tonkin. I mean, all of these, we can't get straight answers on anything. So we're being lied to, and we're being deceived. Deception is, of course, the word of the day. But I'm going to tell you, Mr. Liel's got a lot of good information. And with that, welcome back, sir. And I'm going to let you, we're going to let you fire away, right ahead, go right ahead, wherever you sure. believe that you need to start.
Thank you, Doug. Several months ago, I came on your program and we talked about how demonic spirits are going to play a role in causing America to evolve into a police state. And we went into what I believe was a cipher that can be found in Scripture. For those that did not hear that, it's found in Jeremiah chapter 39. And just a quick, I can't go a lot into that because there's so much to share otherwise, but the things that happen to Jerusalem, the events that happened to the kingdom of Judah in 587 BC when God allowed Israel to be invaded by Babylon, are going to rhyme with the fall of America. And this has been made very clear, and it has been confirmed over and over by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me years ago that Lamentations and the events that you can find written in the book of Lamentations are going to happen to America as America gets judged. And so I have been on a journey, Mr. Doug and Joe, to discover what that means. How deep does this go? If God gave a hint of that, that the events that happened to Judah are going to happen to America, then I want to know what events those are. I want to see how they fit. I want to see how they're going to affect my life, because I have children. I have a family. I have loved ones. I live in America. And the sad part about this narrative is that I love America. This is my home. This is where I grew up. And it is not a joy or pleasant to hear that the nation of my home is going to be dismantled and that it's happening right now. That does not bring joy. It brings sadness. It brings lament. And I believe, Doug, we're on the same page with that. The guests that you have come on, that's the other driving force behind the watchmen that live in America. We're watching our home fall apart, and we do it. We share that it's falling apart to warn, but we also share that it's falling apart because we have a passionate attachment to our home, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being sad when we do see the American flag on fire or hear that our soldiers are being mistreated or our veterans are being mistreated, and the way that Obama is passing these new policies that are just making fodder over our men and women in the military that gave of their lives and their service and the way they're being treated, that makes me angry. It hurts. There's a cauldron of emotions that come out. And Doug, I believe we're on the same page there. So when I know, when God said Lamentations is coming to America, and now that I have seen these things actually start to happen, it brings sadness, but at the same time, I still want to know. So I came on your program, and God revealed, as I stated, another part of the script, and I found it in Jeremiah 39. And Jeremiah 39 is one of four different parts in the Old Testament where we can see the narrative of how Babylon, the empire at that time, invaded Israel and took all of the people in Jerusalem, or most of them, captive to Babylon. And they destroyed the temple, they burned the city, they tore down the walls, they destroyed everything, they burned it, they killed, they maimed, they murdered. It was horrible. Well, that is coming to America, not in the same exact way, because, of course, they had spears back then, but the same concept is going to happen. So we dissected it. And the thing that was very alarming, Doug, is as we shared these things and as I shared the things that God had showed me, one of the most important players in this narrative cannot be found in the physical realm. They're not mere human beings. They are spirits, demons, fallen angels, principalities. Invisible forces of evil are playing a role also in the downfall of America. And so we went into it, and in Jeremiah 39:3, we can find how the names of the demons that, or the back then in Babylon, the names of the princes that went into Babylon, if we look at those names, they are actual names of demons. And one of the primary ones, his name is Nergal. We discussed him. Now, this was months ago, Doug. We did it in two different programs. I released some alerts, and they're now several months old. Listener, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and look at the alerts library, and we go into this. But as we look at the spirits involved in the downfall of America, we can also find their resume. And this creature, his name is Nergal, N-E-R-G-A-L, is a very dark, demonic, powerful principality that is real. He is a real spirit, and he's been around for thousands of years. He was around in Babylon's time, and he's around today. He played a role in Nazi Germany. And if you Google this creature, you can find that he has a long resume of attributes and abilities, and one of the primary abilities that he has is the ability to deceive. He is the god of the underworld. He is the one in charge of the gateway to hell, to the underworld. In other words, he's in charge of the doorway to hell, to the portal. So what that means is he has the ability to open and close it, come in and out, and bring his friends with him. And that's exactly what's happening to America. One huge part of this narrative occurred during the inauguration ceremony. Demonic spirits came into America. And Doug, we talked about back then that they're going to come in and they're going to play a role in new legislation. He's going to play a role in influencing Obama and the leaders in government, state leaders, and the people that make the laws for America. This demon's going to play a role in deceiving and convincing the leadership to get rid of the Constitution, to have new laws that bypass the Constitution.
Now, Mr. Leal, to me this is kind of an important distinction. I'm not sure if you think it's relevant, and if you don't think it's relevant, then by all means, tell me. But is this demon, is he personified in any one individual in your view, or is he working behind the scenes without physical personification?
Oh, man. A loaded question. I think that they can either stand next to the political leaders and whisper into their ears, or possibly if the political leaders are open, if they allow themselves to be the Holiday Inn, then they can personify themselves inside of them. Big Sister Janet, or what's her, not Janet Reno, the new one, Big Sister Napolitano. I wouldn't put it past the powers of darkness to be able to personify themselves, because it's not only them, they also have their officers and their hierarchy of a lot of other high-ranking spirits that are involved in this operation. It's a spiritual operation. But Nergal, and by the way, in answer to your question, could he hop inside Obama and do stuff? I don't know. Yes, it's possible. I'm not going to say officially that Obama is personifying Nergal the demon right now. I don't know that, but the way that Obama is acting in his anti-Christian operation and the things that he's doing where he promotes wickedness and darkness, it would not exceed my ability to accept that he has demonic influence, whether they're inside of him or standing next to him.
You know what? Maybe that was kind of an irrelevant question, I suppose. Regardless, this demon has the influence over the physical people. So it really doesn't matter what the method is necessarily. It's just recognizing the fact that this demonic spirit is active, and
exactly.
I guess that's
now,
it. Sure.
And there could be a deterioration where possibly he does have more of the. For example, Adolf Hitler became more manic. He was crazy and crazed, and he had demons in him. That's obvious. So, getting back to Nergal, though, when we look at his resume and all you got, go to Wikipedia, listener, if you're not familiar with what I'm saying, and look at Nergal. One of his specialties is that he is in charge of the secret police of hell. He is a demon who is an expert at Nazi tactics. He serves Satan, and he's been at this for a long, long time, and he's done it in other countries. He's done it in other nations, and that's why I'm sharing this, is because several months ago we stated we're going to see more police state tactics come in because they're going to get influence. And lo and behold, here we are, 5 months later, Doug, in the year, and we had a litmus test or a dry run of the police state in Boston after the bombing. We saw things that were unprecedented. We saw events take place that made us scratch our heads and made us spin and unbelief. Our mouths dropped open. We were angry. We were mad. We were confused. We were, how could they? There was a lot of emotion that I experienced as I watched this thing take place in Boston, not just the bombing itself, but the aftermath of it, the way they dealt with it. And then we're hearing now that there are other communities that have tried it. And then I heard just recently that Philadelphia has a public service message telling people that if they tell the citizens to shelter in place, they need to have 3 days of food because we're going to lock you down. So is that another part of the brainwashing of America? Indeed. And these demonic spirits who are involved in turning America into a police state, they do it very crafty. They're wicked. They're crafty. They're smart. They have a lot of... They've dealt with humans throughout time. They know how humans respond. You scare the people, and then you offer them a solution, and the people seem to always gravitate toward, yes, just protect us, and because people are fearful. So this demonic creature Nurgle is working in concert with other ones, Samgar and Nebo, and there's other ones mentioned in Jeremiah. And as I have continued to examine this event unfold, this Boston story is just so full of holes. But aside from in the natural, you know, it's real easy to do a program and say, well, I examined the photographs and the video, and here's why I don't believe them. And that part is true. But how amazing is it, Doug and Joe, that there's a potion in the air for the majority of people to just accept what they're told? You remember the FBI showed the picture of Tamerlan and said, there they are. Don't believe anything else. This is the guy. And people accepted it. Incredible.
Yeah, we still have yet to see proof of the actual, I've yet to see proof of them actually placing bombs anywhere or committing any wrongdoings. And I think it came out that during the shootout with police on Friday, I think 4 days after the bomb happened, that they were yelling, we didn't do it. But
I saw
with the lack of information, we can never make that distinction if they're innocent
exactly.
or guilty.
Exactly. And this really, although what you said, and Joe, what you said too, together, you know, very, very important, folks. We were told, and this came right out of the mouths of the investigating officials, don't pay any attention to any other pictures except what we show you. And folks, that was a very hinge point moment in this investigation, in this Boston bombing narrative that we're being force-fed. I'm not going to say that, or I'm not prepared to say that these two were not involved. Certainly they were involved. However, they're involvement, how they were involved is questionable. And we had faces on that crowd at the finish line. In other words, there was facial recognition software employed, multi-million dollars worth of equipment, and people behind the equipment. And yet, for 45 minutes or thereabouts, there was a Saudi national, one of the worst, in terms of terrorist classifications, that was never removed from that crowd. What was that all about, and where did that story go? But I don't want to take your time up, Mr. Lee. I'll go ahead and continue.
As we look at the prophecies about the end times, if we look at the end results, let's just do that for a moment. To get to the book of Revelation before Jesus returns, we see the condition of the world. We're going to have a world that is tyrannical. We're going to have the New World Order finally having its moment in 15 minutes in time to try to rule the world. But for a brief moment during the tribulation period, several years, and I say brief in the history of time, it's brief, we're going to see a police state worldwide. And we're going to see the value for human life diminish to the point where even Christians for their faith will be killed. We read about the people being beheaded for their faith. Those that didn't take the mark will be killed. And right now, if we compare the thought patterns of most, let's take Americans or Westerners or first world individuals and citizens, if we take their thought process, right now they're probably not as willing to just have their neighbor's head chopped off because they don't agree or they're not following what the law of the land is. Most people do not think that way. But eventually, we can read in the Bible that people will think that way. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, many will be offended because their love will grow cold and they'll betray one another. So people are going to turn in one another so that they'll be arrested and thrown into the gulag, the internment camps, the FEMA camps, and they'll be killed. Right now, people aren't turning each other in to that level. However, if we go back in history, that happened in Nazi Germany, it happened in Poland, Austria. It was happening there for a brief moment in time during World War II. Large portions of the population were deceived, and they just accepted it, and their value for human life was diminished back then. They were in a fog. So what type of mental state caused this fog? If we were to ask the question to some of the Germans that just believed it, hey, did you know that you were in deception? They're not going to admit it. And I believe there's some people that have tried to dissect their thought pattern and ask them, why did you believe it? Why did you deny it? Why, when you saw the chimneys and the smoke coming out, you heard the rumors. Why did you deny it? And we could go into examining all the excuses, but the bottom line is they were all in a fog. They were zombies. They were apathetic. And it wasn't a natural thing happening. It was a spiritual deception. It was a delusion that came over their area where they lived, and that delusion was accomplished by demons behind the scenes. And those demons influenced and they changed the way that people thought. They changed the way that people accepted their view of right and wrong. How could they have done that so successfully? That's the thing that boggles my mind, but it happened. When we look at the book of Revelation, it's going to happen again. So if most of us can accept that we're in the last days, and I believe most of our listeners would say that, Doug and Joe, yeah, we're in the last days. Part of the morphing into the last days thought pattern is that people are once again going to start thinking like they did during the time of the Nazis. Their value for human life is not going to be as high. They're not going to trust one another. They're going to allow deception and delusion. So between now and then, this fog is going to come over the world. And it's going to come over America, and it's going to hypnotize the majority of people. And that fog of deception, of delusion, we can read about it in 1 Thessalonians. It's in Timothy. In the last days, they will give themselves over to seducing spirits, to delusion, because they had no love for the truth. So the number one reason that people allow themselves to come under that deceptive fog is because they do not have a love for God or the Bible. And they're biblically illiterate. They're not familiar with the scriptures. They didn't do their scripture homework. That's why what I'm saying right now is so important, Doug and Joe, is because for those that do not get a hold of the scriptures now and understand that this deception is going to come and it's going to make people think different, we need to do everything we can to not let it overwhelm us. Now, how is that thing going to come into America? How is that fog going to come in to change the opinions of the people in your chat room? How many people in the chat room right now that are listening are going to allow themselves to be deluded? How many of them are already deluded? Listener, are you? Are you really trying to make sure you're vigilant that it doesn't happen to you, that hypnotism, that zombieism or whatever it is, the body snatcher spirit's not going to come in and change your thinking? Well, it's so important right now to get a hold of the light and to stay in the light, because those that are not in the light will do crazy things and believe crazy things. So getting back to this event in Boston, the fog, one way that it happens is through the media, through brainwashing, through influence, through making people believe a lie. And the way that you do that is it's continual reinforcement of a lie, and Doug, I'm sure that you could talk for hours on this one, on how people get brainwashed and how society changes their mind on things. But that game is afoot right now in America. It's in play. But unfortunately, it's not a game. It's real life. It's reality. It's going to happen before our very eyes, and many people are going to allow themselves to come under the spell of the Nazi tactics, which is being fueled by Satan and by demons. These demons are working behind the scenes, and in order for this thing to all work as a symphony that's successful, they have to get a hold of humans that are in leadership to become the marionettes, and they whisper in their ears and they tell them to do this thing or that thing, and the end result is an event like the Boston bombing. And then we have the aftermath. The demons need to convince people that it's okay to come under martial law. So what we need to do is to create the chaos to cause the martial law. So whether it's a false flag or whether they possess people just to be crazy, an individual acting autonomously all by themselves, or whether it's rogue elements or provocateurs, it doesn't really matter in the big picture, because the end result is chaos. And the end result is changing the laws. So we have these entities that are going to have to do this over and over, not just one time. It's going to happen a lot of times. It needs, for their plan to be successful, it needs to happen a lot. So what does that tell us? That means that more terrorism is going to come. More shootings are going to come.
I was going to ask you, what form of terrorism, your prophetic visions, whether they're your prophetic visions, dreams, or even instinctually, what kind of terrorism do you think will befall the people of America or anywhere within the free world?
Those are good questions. Let me go ahead and, okay, with that said then, let me go ahead and share the three glimpses that I had. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks now. This happened before the Boston bombing, and I was holding on to it. I didn't know what to make of it because it didn't make sense at the time. And then the Boston bombing happened about a week later. I shared it with a few people. I called up Rick Wilde, in fact, and I asked him, I said, Rick, what do you think of this? And he gave me some thoughts, but I just set it aside, and then the bombing happened. But here's, let me just share it. Now, I have never had three prophetic dreams in a row, Doug and Joe. I usually just have one, and they usually will happen. Maybe I'll have one month, and then 2 or 3 months goes by, and then there'll be another one. But I don't have three in one night. In fact, I had four of them, but the fourth one I can't share. Now, the first dream I had, I was standing in a downtown area of some city in the United States. I do not know what city it was, but I know it was a downtown area because there were three lanes of traffic, and they were all going in one direction. So downtown areas would usually do that, and on each side of the street were buildings. And the area of this downtown area where I was, the buildings were 3 to 4 to 5 stories tall on both sides. And possibly the buildings would get probably got bigger further down or behind me, but all I saw were buildings 3 or 4 stories tall. I was standing in the middle of the street looking in one direction. There were no other cars, and then suddenly from behind me, between four and five of those MRAP, Department of Homeland Security, ATV vehicles, you know, those ones they bought, the 2700, they came from behind me and stopped right in front of me in a row, and then they all jumped out. There were the tactical officers, they were dressed. In fact, you know how they were dressed at Boston during the martial law? It was those guys. And we saw their MRAP driving around their vehicles in Boston, so they got to play with their new toys. So they came from behind me. There was 4 or 5 of them, and they stopped. They jumped out of their vehicles, and they were gonna raid one of the buildings to my left. They were going to serve a warrant, but you know how they do it now. They don't knock on the door and say, we have a warrant. Now they just go in there, and with a battering ram, they sneak up on people and scare them half to death, and then the homeowner, not knowing who they are, grabs the gun, and then he gets killed, because how dare you have a gun in your own house when someone barges in, that's a whole other issue, Doug, but the new way of serving warrants is pathetic because it's causing a lot of people to die. But these individuals jumped out of the vehicles, and when they were all out of their vehicles on both sides of, of their MRAPs suddenly from the rooftops of the buildings on my left and on my right. There were about 15 individuals on the left side and 15 on the right side that stood up from the roof. So they were crouching down, hiding, and they stood up. And when the assault team got out of the MRAP vehicles, the people above started shooting down at them, and they killed every one of them from both sides. They ambushed them. And as I was watching this happen, I started to scream in my dream because I knew what it meant. And by the way, in my heart, in my spirit, in the dream, these were supposedly patriots. Now, whether they were real patriots or false patriots, I don't know that. But in the dream, they were, quote unquote, patriots. And these patriots were waiting for the Homeland Security SWAT team. And they killed all of them. And as I screamed, I started to weep. And I said, do you know what you've done? Why have you done this? No. And it was too late. And they killed all of the officers. And as I was screaming, the dream was over. And then I was taken to a new dream. And in this new one, I was looking out of a window, and I am 99.9% positive that I was in the southwest of the United States. And I was looking out of a window, out of a motel room, and there was a parking lot right outside the window that was maybe 50 feet in length. And then there was the street. The street was four lanes wide, two lanes in one direction and two lanes in the other. The street was going west to east. West was to the left, east was to the right. And on that street were tens of thousands of patriot / neoconservative / Vietnam veterans, gun owners, NRA type people. And they were marching to the west, and they had flags. They had bandanas on, they were in camouflage, they had backpacks, they all had weapons, and they were marching off to war. They were going to fight the government. So when I was in my motel room, again, since I had just had the previous dream that the Patriots killed the officers, I ran out to the parking lot and I started begging them. I tried to beg them not to do it. I begged them and I said, you guys, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. This is not going to end well. And I just started crying out, but they weren't listening to me. Now, there were other things in the dreams and small little details, and I don't want to mention every one of them because it's going to take time. But two of the people in the parade looked at me, and they didn't like it, and they chased me back into my hotel room, and I ran back, and I retreated. But I knew that what they were doing was not going to end well because they were marching to their own slaughter. There were tens of thousands. It was the beginning of the Civil War. So when I went back into my motel room, there was someone in the room with me, and I asked him, where should we go next? And he said, well, if we go straight east, according to the map right here, and he showed me a map, he slid his hand from left to right, and he slid his hand to New Mexico, and he said, that's east, and then if we go further, we're in Texas. So I said, okay, and then I was gone. That dream was over. So what that told me was I'm pretty sure I was in Arizona in this dream. So in the south of Arizona, at some point, the gathering of patriots is going to happen. And there's going to be – now, it might not exactly be Arizona. I'm just saying based on where I was on the map. Maybe it was eastern California or western New Mexico, but it was down there somewhere. I saw the beginning of the Civil Wars. And then the third dream started. In the third dream, I was in Houston. And I was, again, looking out of a window, and I saw the Astrodome in front of me. And I was looking from the west to the east, so it was right in front of me. And then next to the Astrodome, I saw Joel Osteen's big, giant megachurch, and it appeared right next to the Astrodome. And then I could see inside of the church, and it was empty. No one was there. And I was just pondering, wow. I'm in Houston. Why is this church empty? And then I noticed that I had binoculars hanging around my neck. So I raised the binoculars, and I looked to Joel Osteen's church in that same direction. But suddenly the scene changed before my eyes, and I was no longer looking at the middle of Houston. I'm not sure where I was looking at this point. But the scene changed because I saw a red train coming toward me, And then I lowered the binoculars, and it wasn't there, and I raised the binoculars again, and I could see this red train. And there were people next to me in my dream, and I asked them, can you guys see this train coming? And they said, there's no train there, Nathan. And I said, through the binoculars, I see a train. And they said, Nathan, I don't know what you're looking through in your binoculars, but there's no train in front of us. So what that told me was the binoculars were the prophetic looking glass. It's a tool that God allows. So it was from God, the ability to look through this lens to see into the future. So as I was looking at this train, it had two red engines, and it was going 80 to 100 miles an hour, and it was coming toward me. And it was going faster and faster. And as I was looking at it, this is the part that was interesting. I started to weep because I said, this train's going faster. This isn't good. Why is it doing that? It looks like it's out of control. And then the train jumped the tracks, and it went to its left, and it started scraping down the highway that was right next to the train tracks. And the two red engines started gathering dust, and sparks were coming out. And the load that it was carrying was miles long, and it all started scraping down the highway. And as that happened, the scraping was so loud, the sparks were so vivid, and I started crying out to the people next to me, this is a horrible catastrophe. You guys, this is horrible. And whenever you're having a prophetic vision or dream, there's a lot of emotion many times. Joe and Doug, the emotion, the fear, the pain, the passion, or the panic or the terror is very, very vivid in a prophetic dream. So as I was watching this, the panic and the grief and the lament was so powerful and so overwhelming that I just started crying out. This is terrible. And then the street that was under the train started moving up and down in waves, like it was like if you were lifting up a string that was topped and you get those waves out of it, or how a bridge would go up and down. It started waving. And the train continued to move, but it was bouncing. And then at the end of the train, it exploded. It was a huge explosion, a fireball, and the fireball turned into like a mushroom cloud. I don't know if it was a nuclear device that went off, but the explosion was incredible. And then the buildings, the city that was behind the train, was all on fire. It was engulfed in flames. So I was just watching this thing, and I'm crying. I'm weeping, and I'm saying, this is a terrible catastrophe, and then that dream was over. Now, the fourth dream that I had, I cannot share it because, Doug, maybe I'll tell you off the air, but I just can't do it because it just wouldn't be wise, the things that I saw. But the first three dreams that I had, after I was awakened and I asked some friends about it, as I shared, I asked a few people about it. The first one is obvious. The first dream represented the coming civil war. And the question that I still can't get past, and by the way, in my last program, I talked about these dreams. Someone emailed me and they said, Nathan, how do you know they were real patriots that did the ambush? Maybe they were fake patriots. And that part, I don't know. That's possible. Maybe they were provocateurs. Maybe they were rogue elements. So I want to leave that part open because I'm not sure who they were. But in the eyes of the DHS SWAT team that was coming, they were patriots in their eyes. So these elements ambushed the governments, and the Civil War started after that. So what that told me is that eventually there's going to be a chain of events between now and the time that this thing happens, and we're going to start seeing events happen where, by the way, I was surprised, Doug and Joe, where I thought that the Boston bomber was going to be blamed on patriots, and I heard some opinions when people were trying to dissect this thing that at first possibly they were going to blame it, but then they changed the story. They had to go to Plan B phase. But there's going to be some more events. They need the patriots to be demonized of America. They need the gun owners. They need the freedom lovers, those that believe in the constitutional Christians, to be the enemies of the state. And they have to do it in such a way that the general population will also believe it. They have to deceive. So now, when we look at this end game for them, we have powers of darkness, we have demon spirits that are going to do their part to come up with a script, a scheme, a plan, a phase, an event, or several events where the patriots and the type of people that listen to our programs, Doug, are going to be labeled as crazed wackos, and now they're the ones that are going to be in the crosshairs. So what's going to cause us to get there, that part, I don't know, but I do see that we're going to eventually have the patriots blamed. Now, when they do get blamed and there's an ambush or they encounter and engage one another, at some point, when they do get demonized, then the regular freedom-loving patriots who are sincere, who are God-fearing, who do not want any trouble with the government, are going to find themselves with a choice. And they're going to find themselves challenged to think about, okay, I'm not going to wait for them to come get me. We need to take the fight to them. And that's what my second dream was. The patriots got together, they started assembling, and the parade that I saw, the march to war, I don't know if that was the only one, but the rallying cry had been made, and those patriots were off to war, and they were people with good intent. And when we look at the narrative of what the end result's going to be, many times, even people who have good intentions allow themselves to be caught up in the wrong theater, in the wrong event. So eventually, Doug, my warning, and this is the thing that I'm just trying to scream from the housetops, those of us that understand what they want and understand that the end result that they're going to have is martial law nationwide. They're going to have the nation in lockdown. They're going to have the streets being patrolled by these SWAT teams and the DHS officers, the civilian military force that Obama has always dreamed about. He wants them on the street. He wants his Stasi. He wants the police state. So that's the end game. And unfortunately, there are going to be patriots that are going to allow themselves to be caught up in the war. And it's going to happen because people like Ted Nugent and Chuck Norris and WorldNet Daily are going to place these articles. And God bless the people who mean well. But, Doug, this is an operation that is deceptive. It's crafty. And my warning to everyone listening is this. According to the scriptures, we have to be as innocent as doves. We cannot allow ourselves to be caught up in this thing that they want. Now, after I released my last program, someone emailed me and they said, Nathan, can you please clarify? Are you saying that we're supposed to be pacifists? Are you saying that we're not supposed to protect ourselves? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we have to be as smart, as vigilant, as wise as possible. And we have to understand this, that any decision that we make that draws blood, Doug, the rules are going to change after that. And also, the assessment of ourselves will create the sowing of seeds for our narrative. Because the Bible is very, very clear. It says in the book of Revelation, it's very clear that during the time of the tribulation, there's always going to be civil unrest. There are going to be people fighting the New World Order up until the very end. That's why Armageddon will happen. And it says that those that kill by the sword will die by the sword. So it has to be established for everyone to consider. It's between them and God. I'm not going to tell them what to do, but we need to understand that the New World Order and this end-time police state, number one, is not going to be stopped. It will not be. It's prophecy. It is the Bible. God is going to let it happen. This end-time New World Order beast is going to happen, and they're going to be very formidable. The Bible tells us in Revelation 18 that Satan will give it its strength and its authority. So they're going to be very well armed. There's no way to stop it. So what is the mentality that we as remnant Christians need to have? Jesus told us what we need to do. He said in Matthew 24, when you see these things happen, run to the mountains. So basically, it's about sheltering in place. It's about bugging out. It's about trying to stay invisible. It's about trying to be as innocent as doves. It's about trying to be as wise and endure as long as you can. So as far as self-defense goes, I fully believe, Doug, that we need to defend our families against, and I said this last time, but I'll say it again, we need to defend our family against the pirates, the band of thieves, the anarchists that are out there, the gangs, the gangsters, the people on our level of of our city, the citizens that are going to misbehave, we have to defend ourselves against them. But when it comes to the New World Order, we need to stay one step of them and stay invisible and know when they're going to come. And we need to be able to hear the voice of God to the point where when we know we have to flee or retreat, we can do it and stay alive. Because, Doug, how do you fight a drone that has your GPS, the GPS of your front door? How do you fight that? You can't. How do you fight tanks parked in front of your house and the barrel is pointed at you? When they show up, it's going to be very difficult. So the strategy we need to have is to stay one step ahead so that when they do show up, we're gone. And this can happen. We can't have that sort of supernatural awareness because the first century church had that word from God. When Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, God had already been warning the early church for 3 years that it was going to happen. And history tells us in the writings of that we can find in the early church that we had people getting prophetic dreams, they were getting visions, they were getting words from God of warning to flee Jerusalem, so they fled. So when Rome showed up, most of the early church was not there. So that is why I'm trying to challenge the people that we have to think outside the scope of just the rah-rah AR-15, and this is going to save me. No, it won't. And Doug, I believe when we were talking off the air, we have to really consider what they want. They want a bloodbath. They want the Patriots to fight
Absolutely.
Them, and unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. And my dream is not saying that it's going to be stopped. The reason for my dream is to warn that when it does happen, that we as Christians and as the remnant need to make sure that we're not participating in something that is crazy and that is putting faith in the arm of the flesh or the strength of man, because it will not end well. It will not succeed well.
You know what? A very good friend of mine, when you were talking about the different scenarios, and especially talking about the deception and being drawn into a fight that necessarily or may not necessarily be legitimate, for example, we're seeing the rhetoric being driven up on really both sides. When I say both sides, I'm talking about the constitutionalists, if you will, the freedom-loving patriots, and the rhetoric on the government side. And the Obama, DHS, Napolitano, they're doubling down on everything, as are the, as you call them, the patriots. Now, we have to, and I think that you were referring to, and a good friend of mine said this, we have to know when to step aside or get out of the way of what's coming. That's not a retreating or being a pacifist. As you put it, Nathan, it's being more intelligent and using your discernment, God-given discernment, to know, hey, you know, if you're, you can, you really, unless you're very, very fortunate, and things go exactly, precisely right, you're not going to be able to fend off a SWAT team coming in your house, okay? So that's it. You know,
no matter how many times that scenario's played out in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. So you try to avoid that situation, think ahead, and that's what we're doing here. And I think that that's the value of what you're saying, is we have to use our God-given discernment to always stay a step ahead. I don't know if that made sense, but that's kind of what I was getting. Okay.
Amen.
Right. And you know, and I've got to tell you, you know, once again, folks, the rhetoric on both sides is getting very, very hot. Throw in the economic component to the mix, the takedown of the American dollar, or if you, wherever you're listening to this, whatever country you're listening to this, your currency, or the U.S. Reserve currency for your country, things are going to get very ugly. So know when to get out of the way of danger, use discernment, and listen to what Mr. Leal is saying, because there is a theme here to his prophetic visions, if you will, an ongoing theme. And I think that we have to understand what that is, and I think that that's pretty clear, at least in my mind, that we have to play smart.
indeed, and wise. So I wanted
yes.
to mention the third dream of the trains. I have really been trying to figure out what they meant, and I believe that they have a symbolic meaning, but possibly they might also be a glimpse of how this thing is going to play out, because red means a variety of things. Red represents communism, of course. Red represents emergency. Red represents alarm. It represents, and here's the part that's disturbing, gentlemen, red represents bloodshed and chaos. So this red train that was approaching, I believe it represents all of those things. Now, there were two of them, and they were going very, very fast. In previous prophetic dreams that I've had, I've seen waves come in. I've seen the waves come in from water, from shorelines. I've seen waves represented as a road that goes up and down like a roller coaster. And what God has continued to reveal is that this thing that's coming to America is happening in waves. So you'll have one event that takes over headlines for days at a time, or maybe even expands a week or two, but then there's a calm. And two or three weeks will go by, and the people go back to sleep, and then another one will happen. And when that happens enough times, isn't it amazing, Doug and Joe, how as Americans or as industrialized citizens, we are so overstimulated, and in the midst of the overstimulation, we also have bouts with forgetfulness, because when the event happened in Aurora, Colorado, that was the headline. But then it went away. The calmness came, and then Sandy Hook happened. And then that went away, and now we have the Boston bombing. And remember the day before the Boston bombing, we had the fertilizer plant explode in Texas. That thing is actually another thing to check out and to dissect and to inspect, but it got bumped by the Boston bombing. But now the Boston bombing event is starting to calm down, and what's going to be the next one? And every time these events happen, they make more gains. They make two steps ahead, and then maybe they'll take half a step back, but then they take two more, and they're doing it slow so that most people don't realize that the water's getting hotter. They don't realize how much the freedoms are deteriorating, and that's the shrewdness of the powers of darkness to be able to do it in that order. So when I saw the train with two red engines crash, the road under it started having waves, but the waves were happening very quickly. And I feel in my spirit, Doug and Joe, that as the days progress into the year 2013, 2014, and onward, these things are going to get closer together. The phases of their operation are going to get closer together, because time's running out for them, and they want to get this thing going, and it's going to increase in velocity. We're going to start seeing some happen simultaneously to the point where people are just overwhelmed with doom fatigue and doom overload, and they don't want to think about it anymore, so they'll just go watch their America's Got Talent programs or their American Idols or their reality shows. They just want to check out. But God wants us to be aware this emergency train is coming, and it's going to crash, and when it does, it's going to make a loud noise, it's going to scrape down the highway, and then eventually there's going to be an eruption, an explosion of fire. Now, that's in the spiritual sense, in the symbolic sense. We're going to see an eruption of fire. The markets, as you stated, are going to erupt. They're going to explode. And in the third hour, I'm going to go into the verses that I was planning to share, and we're going to dissect that, and I'm going to go line by line, and I'm going to mention several categories that are going to be very, very interesting and, in fact, very concerning, because we're about to watch some huge events unfold. We have already turned the corner. We've gone around the Cape. We're in the new waters. For most people, it's uncharted waters. For the powers of darkness, they're used to this. They know what they're doing. But these waters that we are now in, for most people, are going to be very, very uncharted. They're going to be overwhelming, and most people are not going to see it coming. So the thing that the listeners have to be aware of, Doug, is we're not going back. I get emails from people that say, Nathan, can America be saved? Can this thing be stopped? And the answer is no. We're done. The confirmation of why we're done is as simple as looking at the talking points of the Obama administration or the talking points of entertainment or what Hollywood is doing or what's happening in the sports arena with the depletion of morality in America and how we're just going down the whirlpool, down the drain. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Repentance never happened after the Boston bombing. The vigils for repentance were not called upon after those mass shootings. The vigils were not called. We're done, gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen that are listening, America is done. It's not going to be saved. So our instructions from this point on are going to be for each person to find the mercy of God and the wisdom of God for themselves on an individual basis, because that's it. That's all we can do to try to weather this thing. The two trains, I'll say this real quick.
We're right at
the top of the hour.
Go ahead.
The two trains, I'm wondering, Doug, if we're going to see a false flag terrorist event that's going to trains. The explosion I saw was tremendous. So I'm wondering if there's going to be an event. And if there is, why were the train engines red? That part I can't figure out, but I did take the liberty to do some research and find out which train company has red engines. And up to this point, I've been able to find out that Canada Pacific Railway has red engines that they use, and they do have routes that come into the United States, and they are always expanding. They're trying to get some routes right now that go all the way to Houston to bring their Shell crude oil to be refined in the refineries around Houston and in Louisiana. So that thing is in motion right now. So that's another, for the listeners, just keep that in mind. Red train engines is an event. So with that said, I think we're at the top of the hour, Mr. Doug.
Well, yeah, before we break, Nathan, I got an email here from TJ who asked a question. And I know we covered this in the first hour, but and the folks that are regular listeners of the show know our history. And, of course, I've been an investigator for 30 years. Three decades, almost 30 years. And the question is this. Now, you covered this, but let me just reiterate this because we had new listeners at the top of the second hour. The bare naked question is this, and then I just kind of want to add something to this. With all due respect, how can your guest know? It was a prophetic dream and not just a regular dream, you know, like one would get from pizza or hot dogs or whatever before bedtime. And, of course, you covered that by saying a number of things. But before you just reiterate briefly to answer TJ on this, once again, we have new listeners all the time, or this top of the second hour. Before you answer that, I'll say this to TJ. You know, as an investigator, I'm a born skeptic. And I need confirmation 6 weeks from Sunday, basically, to verify things before I will really run with it. But after talking with Nathan Leal and understanding his process, see, there's a process involved that would, and I'm not gonna answer this for you. You can address this here for yourself, but. It's my understanding, Nathan, from listening to you and listening to others like you, there's a process involved that you can discern the validity of your dreams from regular dreams. As you said, Technicolor, they have different characteristics. You can remember them. They're emotional. Plus, you said something else about taking it to the Holy Spirit and praying about it. So you've got a process that you go through. Is that a fair statement?
That is very true. And when I have a dream, I tackle it from the standpoint that it was pizza. I share it, first of all, with my wife when I wake up, and I say, was this pizza? And I don't know. So then I hold on to it then, and I continue asking God, and God will either confirm or he won't. If he does not confirm, I keep it to myself. It's that simple.
Yeah, but one thing, TJ, I've noticed this, having gone through your website, folks, go to thewatchmanscry.com. It's off of HomelandSecurityUS.com. You can click on the link. It'll take you right there. Grab a cup of coffee. Go through Mr. Liel's entire library. And one thing I think you'll find, and Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though if we were to look at this, if I was working in a police department and you were clairvoyant, and I know you're not, but and forgive me for even equating you with that, but you know how you've seen
right.
television shows, and but in real life too, I mean, this has happened, where somebody will come in and say, look, I think the body's buried in this field over there. Well, the first thing you do is look at that person and say, wait a minute, now what do they know? And how do they know this, especially if a body is found? But that said, you can't, folks, and TJ, there are people out there, and I believe Nathan is one of them, who have a track record of accuracy, rather uncanny accuracy, even if you're talking in the allegorical sense or the practical sense. So that's why we put a little bit more stock, or more, I shouldn't say a little bit more, that's why we put more attention to what Nathan is saying than perhaps someone who calls up and says, hey, you know what, I dreamt this or dreamt that, and, you know, for whatever. So, but you've got a track record, and it's on your website, and people can look at it and go back in time and go back through your various videos and newsletters and what have you, and verify what you're saying. So I just, you know, not that you need my endorsement, but I have to say that I've seen this play out in the practical realm in investigations where people have come through and said something, and it's mind-blowing. But, you know, again, your track record is very, I don't want to say frightening, but extremely, you're cut above in terms of, I don't even know how to describe it.
No, you got to go back and listen to his audios all the way back as far as you can and as much as you can, because he has so much good information, biblical information, in those audios.
That's the key. That's the key, too, the way he does that with the Bible.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are winding down the second hour here, going to be in the third hour, coming back on the other side after the short commercial break. Stay with us with Nathan Liel.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this special Thursday, March 2nd edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report with our very special guest, Nathan Liao. You can go to the Watchman's Cry.com, Watchman'sCry.com, to get his whole bunch of archive articles, audios, and
wonderful website that he's set up, and you can spend hours there. Grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and do that. Before we get back to Mr. Liao, I just received an email, folks, from Curtis Samuel. Now, regular listeners know Marcus Samuel is just a great brother in Christ. He's a missionary in South Dakota. Curtis Samuel writes, "Doug, we have an emergency prayer request for Brother Marcus Samuel. He was apparently hit in the chest with something today, leaving him in a bad, painful condition. Please have everyone say a prayer for Brother Marcus." Signed, his son, Curtis. And folks, we just please.
He was helping the family exercise demons out of their house.
I'm going to tell you something. There's this manifestation, honest to goodness, in the reservations, Native American land manifestations that I've seen. Well, I'm not going to go there. All I can say is this stuff is real. But, folks, when you hit your knees tonight, please keep Brother Marcus Samuel in your prayers and pray for his immediate recovery. And thank you, Nathan, for allowing me to put that in there, taking your time.
Thank you. Can I make a comment about the gentleman that emailed you about how do I know if it's from God?
Sure, please.
Before I answer that, I have to answer that question with an actual question back, and this is what it is. Listener, are you asking that question because you really want to know, or are you asking that question because you don't even believe it happens? And, Doug, what I have noticed over the years is some individuals don't even believe that God can do this. So they will ask you, how do you know it is? And they will keep questioning you when really they don't even think it's possible for it to happen. So it's really a waste of time because no amount of explanation is going to convince them. So there are individuals out there that don't think that God can do this, and for that person, you know what? I can't help you with sharing my warning message, because you're not going to be convinced, and you live in the physical world, and that's it. But as far as does God do this, of course he does.
Absolutely.
When we die, we're going to be spiritual beings. Why can't there's too much track record now of individuals throughout time that have been shown things by God. Mary and Joseph, as I shared, Jesus, when he was an infant, was saved in a dream, and we can go on and on about that. So for the listener that wonders, is Nathan telling the truth, or, well, listener, do you even believe it can happen? And if you do believe it can happen, then we'll talk. And as you shared, Doug, there's a number of things that we can do to make sure, because I don't want to be deceived. I'm after the truth. I don't want to have a dream and then share a lie if it's not from God, because that makes me guilty. And then I'm on the wrong side. I'm on Satan's side. And that's very serious. So we can't play around with this thing and just want so bad to have this thing in our record that we're willing to put aside scruples or the fear of God. I take this thing very seriously. Fearing God is a very serious matter in my life. So when I share these dreams, I share them to warn. As I stated, there are many, many that I have not done. There are many that I've just kept to myself. There's some times where I just mention them on my program, but I don't talk about them. And I'm sorry, I don't publish them on my website. In fact, my website's probably behind. I probably should put some of the newer ones on there. But as far as confirmation, it's a combination of prophetic dreams and words of prophecy when I'm seeking God and the Holy Spirit starts to speak in a still small voice. I take notes, and then he tells me to publish it. For example, in April 18th, 2008, the Holy Spirit told me that America is under judgment. This is before the crash of Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers. He said judgment has begun, and God gave a list of things that were coming to America, and one of them was the water of America was going to get poisoned. And I asked him what that meant, and he said it's the salt water is going to get poisoned and also the fresh water. And then 2 years later, we had the Gulf spill. But we're not finished with that. Then we had the Fukushima crisis. We are not finished. There's other events that are going to come that are going to poison the fresh water of America, and that's part of his judgment. God also gave me another word of prophecy that drought was going to come to the land, and I published that in 2009. And the Holy Spirit was very clear. Ranchers were going to have to get rid of their cows because they wouldn't be able to find hay. They were going to go out of business. It was going to create a problem in the industry. That was in 2009, and in the last 2 years, what have we read about as far as the drought, gentlemen? It happened. There was another dream that I had where I saw that pensions were going to be stolen by the U.S. government, the nest eggs. That's called the eagle and the fox. That one's on my website. I put it up on January 19, 2012, but I had it in 2010, but I still put it up well in advance of the rhetoric that is now starting to be talked about before Cyprus did their little thing of stealing the nest eggs. That's going to happen. So I could go on and on, gentlemen, but the gift of prophecy is real. And the reason that it happens is because God loves us and he wants us to be prepared. I had another dream, and I believe I shared it on your last program, where the Statue of Liberty's head was decapitated, and the Holy Spirit said Liberty is going to be decapitated. So we're starting to see that happen now. So the end result is going to be a new America that is not going to resemble the present America. And I see now we have about 45 minutes left. I want to get into the other portion of Scripture that is going to give us more of an outline of what's going to happen to America. So can we move into that? Here we go. If you have your Bibles with you, please get a hold of it and go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 21, and we're going to examine some verses. Ezekiel 21, or take some notes and take these things to heart, because we're going to see the glimpses that were written thousands of years ago that are going to have to do with America, and we're going to see them come forth. We're going to see them come to pass because they've already begun. Now, when we look at the prophetic and when we look at end-time prophecy, it is a discipline that we could use lifetimes to study. There is so much information when it comes to end-time prophecy. It's not just the popular ones in Revelation or Matthew 24. There are so many prophecies. In fact, one-third of the Bible is prophecy. So it's up to us to be able to have the wisdom and the eyes to see, to be able to dissect, to understand, to see under the layers that are on the page, the printed page, to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit, for him to be able to open our eyes, and to be able to fight the regular philosophies of men. And that's one of the hardest challenges for most people who are Christians right now, is to set aside some of the interpretations of man that we have heard in the past, for example, the pre-tribulation rapture, the philosophies of man, where because they have been influenced by some philosophies of man and traditions of man, they're not able to see some of the other hidden truth that is found in the scripture about the end times, which also includes knowing what's going to happen to America. America is in the scripture all day long. It's in the Old Testament and many, many places. We can find it. And it's a combination of also having the Holy Spirit show us that it's there. Now, for the people that do not rely on listening to the Holy Spirit speak to them, they're going to be limited in the knowledge and in the teaching and the training that they can obtain when they're reading the Bible. In order to come to the scriptures and leave with our appetite satisfied, it requires that the Holy Spirit is playing a role with us while we're reading, while we're studying, because he opens our eyes, he helps us to see below the layers. So that's what we're going to do right here. Now, as I stated earlier, God gave me a glimpse that America is going to rhyme with the nation of Judah, with Jerusalem, in the way that they were destroyed, the way they were attacked, the way they fell. And when we look at the narrative of the attitude that Jerusalem and that Judah had before they were invaded by Babylon, and when we look and read about the condition of their hearts, they were a very pompous people. They were very secure in their place with God, but the security they had was based on the past. It wasn't based on how they were acting at that time, because they had become a wayward people who started following Baal worship. They left the statutes of God, the principles of God, and they were in sin. They were living in a society that tolerated a lot of sin, and they thought that since they were the people of God, God was just going to wink at it and would never judge them. So God raised up prophets to tell them to knock it off, but they didn't listen. And then eventually, their destruction came. Now, the prophets that God raised up to warn them, the two primary prophets were Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah warned Judah and Israel for 40 years. He went through five different kings trying to warn them that their invasion was coming. Now, when Jerusalem fell in 587 BC, and we can read about that in Jeremiah 39, that was not the first time that Nebuchadnezzar had showed up in Israel. He had showed up 11 years before that and placed a puppet government in power, and he got rid of the old king. But he didn't really destroy Israel then. He just tried to make them a vassal puppet government for himself. That was 11 years previous. And when he did that, he also carried away a few of the citizens of Jerusalem and Judah as captives. He took them off to Babylon. And part of the first phase of captives that he took to Babylon included the prophet Ezekiel. So Ezekiel was in Babylon, living there for several years before Israel and Judah got destroyed, when Babylon went to Judah to destroy them, and we read about that narrative. God showed up in Babylon and started talking to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, I want you to have a prophecy for my people. I want you to declare the word, son of man, say it, here are the words, write them down. So Ezekiel was obedient, and he was in Babylon, and he was doing prophetic object lessons for the people in captivity there, just so they would be confirmed. And when Ezekiel started writing prophecies about the fall of Jerusalem, it's real interesting that many of the same things that were talked about by Jeremiah, Ezekiel also mentioned the same things, but he did it with different detail. He described it in different ways that give us a glimpse that opens up the canvas and shows us a more complete picture of what Judah had to go through. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 21, and it's going to go into what Judah had to endure. Now, aside from reading that this is going to happen to Jerusalem, that it was in the nation of Judah, this also applies to America. And I established that in the previous program. So as we are reading Ezekiel 21, I'm gonna share it and open it up in with America in mind. Was that a good introduction, Doug? Does that make sense of what we're about to do?
Absolutely. That laid a good foundation. And folks, you can find our last program with Mr. Leal via our archives on HomelandSecurityUS.com, as well as on TheWatchmansCry.com. But yes, very important foundation. You laid the groundwork for what you're getting into, and I think it's interesting the parallels between present day and past, including America. So go right ahead.
Okay. When the Boston bombing occurred, and I saw the images of the aftermath, and I saw the injuries that occurred to them, and the injuries were, most of them were their legs, their feet, their legs were blown off. And I don't want to go into they were actors, they were fakes, they were frauds. Doug, I don't want to go there. From what I saw, they were injuries. So if someone doesn't believe they were real, whether or not you believe it, I'm sharing it from the standpoint that they were real injuries, and these people weren't hurt. They were wounded, and they were killed. So the injuries that occurred were limb injuries from the knee and below. Now, when that happened and I heard about it, in my spirit, in my discernment, it started brewing, and in my heart for several days, I was considering and I was thinking, God, this means something, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit started revealing to me that it was an object lesson that happened in Boston. Yes, it was a horrible event. Yes, it was an attack. Regardless of who was behind it, regardless of who was involved, it was a bad event. And it was an object lesson because many, many times when God would prophesy a judgment over Israel or over another nation, God would go into details of the areas that they were going to be attacked in. He would describe the injuries they were going to have. He would describe the ailments, the pain, how they were going to die, the weapons that were going to be used. God is very detailed. So he would say it in advance, and then it would happen that way. And because it happened in a certain way, that gave confirmation that the prophets were true and that God is real. And many times, based on how the injury played out, that also showed the area that they were missing God, the area where their sin caused them to fall. So when we look at Boston, we see that they had injuries to the knees and to their limbs. And I was praying to God. I was chopping wood a few days ago, and I was talking to him and asking him, God, open my eyes. And that's usually part of the process. I will seek him constantly all day long, whether I'm driving or doing chores or praying or laying in bed, waking up, going to sleep. I'm asking God, open my eyes. And he doesn't open my eyes after the first amen in 30 seconds. It takes days or weeks sometimes. It takes effort for God to give words. And that's the way it should be, because he wants us to show that we're really earnest about the situation and we want to learn. So I'm asking God, reveal to me, what does this mean? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's about the knees, Nathan. And that was out of the blue a few days ago. That was before I called you, Doug. And I asked God, I said, what do you mean the knees? And he said, go search it out. And usually that's also the way it works out. God will give me a phrase or a sentence or a few things, and then he makes me do the homework, go into the Bible, and you seek it out. Be a Berean. Study. So I had to do that. So I got into the scriptures, and I started studying. And then it's real interesting that I started doing a word search for knees, injuries to the knees or weak knees, and boom, there it was, Ezekiel 21. And we can find this in verse 7. And verse 7 is talking about God was telling Ezekiel, when the judgment arrives to my people in Jerusalem, they are going to be lamenting, they're going to be crying, they're going to be moaning. So I want you to do a moan, do a sigh in front of the people out loud to show them what's coming. And when they ask you, what are you doing, Ezekiel? Then you tell them what it means. And then verse 7, that's exactly what it says. It says, and it shall be when they say to you, why are you sighing? You shall answer because of the news. The news. Now, keep that in mind, listeners. When it comes, when the news comes, or tidings, the King James says tidings, every heart will melt at this news. And here's what's going to happen. All hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be as weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and shall be brought to pass, says the Lord. Now, I was looking at this. The knees shall be weak as water. So I did a word study on the word knees in the concordance, and listener, you can look it up yourself. And what that when it says knees weak as water, it's very interesting that when we look at the bombings that happened, it was, how interesting is it that water is related to some of the recent shootings, some of the terrorist events, some of the massacres, some of the bombing, in fact. The brothers were found in Waterford. How interesting is that? But it was a coastal town. Then we had the Sandy Hook massacre. I believe the street of the school was had water involved. But aside from the word, the interest of the words, knees as weak as water is an illustration that when the first news comes that God's judgment is arriving, people will be weak at the knees. They'll be broken at the knees. And when you look at the original words, that's exactly what it describes. The knees are, we're knocked off at the knees, in other words. So what we have, what this means is the event in Boston, when we relate it to this verse, well, Nathan, okay, so we have the people below the knees, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners saw that gentleman that had his bones sticking out. It was a gruesome image, Doug, and it was all that, and I studied all that, well, and it was disturbing to see.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking
image.
God, I'm
yep.
saying, yeah, it was. So I asked God, so what does this mean? What are you saying? And the Holy Spirit said, Nathan, this is all a part of a chain of events. Read the whole chapter. So I did that, and as I did, I was very. I don't even have the right words to explain the impact that it has, but I'm going to go ahead and share. I believe that the events we're about to read right here are going to happen to America. Now, the chapter right before chapter 21 is chapter 20, and if we start in verse 45, this is also part of the events that were going to happen to them and also that are going to happen to America. Let me read in verse 45. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the south. Preach against the south and prophesy against the forest land. Now, keep that in mind, Doug and Joe, the south. So if you're taking notes, just write down south because we're going to make reference to that in a moment. The south. Prophesy against the forest land, the south, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. This says the Lord God. Behold, I will kindle a fire in you. Talking to the forest. It shall devour every green tree, every dry tree in you. And the blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. So when Babylon invaded Judah, they set fire also around the area. So it was burning. The forests were burning back then. For the United States of America, keep this in mind. We're going to see portions of the United States on fire. We're going to see flames occurring in areas of the United States. We also read about the South, so keep that in mind, in the South. Now let's go to the next chapter, 21. Let's continue. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, prophesy against the land of Israel, and say, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you. Now, this is God talking, so make note of what we're about to hear. To the natural man, most people would say, if this Boston bombing happened, why did the little boy, the little 8-year-old boy, die? In Sandy Hook, why did that happen? The little kids, the babies, why? Doug, for the last several years, the Holy Spirit has made it very clear that innocent children are going to be killed in some of the events that are coming. And God made it very clear. This has been on record. I've said it on programs. I've said it on my radio program. It's on my website. God has challenged the remnant to to do everything they can to be right with him, to repent, and also to pray for the protection of their children, because when the events come, you do not want to be separated from your children when they come. Listeners, please make note of that. Why? Because when God's judgment comes, it doesn't only hurt the bad people. Now let's read on. I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteous and wicked from you. So what God is saying is when the appointment has been determined over a nation to be judged, innocent people die. That's the bad part about judgment. And for those that might say, Nathan, how dare you? These are innocent children. You're saying they deserve it? No. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that the hand of protection has been withdrawn from America now. We are beyond the hedge. We are beyond the shield, the cloak, the blessing. And when that happens, then it's an equal opportunity of pain and misery and lamentations to hit every person. So righteous people will fall, including children. And we saw that happen. So we saw the righteous and the wicked, because I will cut off both righteous and wicked from you. There it is again, verse 4. Therefore, my sword shall come out of its sheath. So this is God saying he's pulling his sword out of the sheath. And what's it going to do? It's going to be against all flesh. And here it is again, gentlemen, from the south to the north. It starts in the south. The attack will start from the south. We're going to see bad things occur to the United States of America from the south. That includes whether it's south below Mexico or south in the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to have things happen from the south of America. Now, I want to take you back to the prophecy of Dimitri Dudeman. He said, from Mexico, from the south, we're going to be invaded by the communists from the south. And right here, we can read the same thing, from the south. Keep that in mind. Also, as it happens, God is allowing it to happen because he's saying he's taking his sword and he's going to allow his sword to be used against the righteous and the wicked of the land. Verse 5. Why will it happen? That all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return anymore. Doug and Joe, let's consider that for a moment. If God, the creator of the universe, has been so patient with the United States of America, but continually we see the leadership making statements like, congratulations to the NBA homosexual for being gay, good for you. And then we hear about the leader in the White House, again, telling Planned Parenthood, God bless you in your journey, in your agenda to murder the innocent. When we hear these stories over and over, Hollywood pumps the agenda of wickedness down our throats. When we continually hear about public school education that wants to indoctrinate our children with the religion of the devil, with the indoctrination from hell, the doctrine of demons about sexual orientation starting from kindergarten and brainwashing our children that God didn't make Adam and Eve, he made Adam and whatever the doctor wants to turn you into. When we hear about that, how is God in heaven supposed to deal with that? How is he supposed to reconcile this? We have seen this happen continually over and over. Obama says we're not a Christian nation. The Democrats boo God. I can go on, and I'm sure you've discussed this. So when God finally says, I've had enough, what does he do? He raises up voices. He raises up messengers, watchmen. I am one of them. And I am telling you, listeners, I'm telling the world right now, God's judgment is going to be sure, and it's going to involve God taking his own sword out of his sheath, and it's not going to be placed back. So when that happens, here's the response of the people. Verse 6, sigh therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart. Why? Because that's going to be the response of the citizens, a breaking heart. People are going to hear the news of continual murders and massacres and shootings and attacks and all of these horrible, horrible events. And when they hear them, there's only going to be one response, and it's not going to be a high five. It's going to be lament. It's going to be sorrow. It's going to be groaning from our inner heart, from our bosom, from our stomach. There's going to be tears shed, broken hearts. And Ezekiel sighed with bitterness before their eyes. And it shall be when they say why, he's going to say, here's why. You tell them, Ezekiel, because of the news. So the event that we saw in Boston was not just an isolated incident. It was a prophetic sign to show that America has now been knocked down below the knees. America, please hear my voice. Listeners, hear my voice. God is trying to get our attention, that he is knocking us down below the knees to show us that this thing is real, and that the way that you are maintaining your Christianity is either going to pass his judgment or it's not. The assessment is going to have a score, and you're either going to pass or fail. And if you fail, in your family, in your household, you're either going to have God protecting you because you're doing your homework, or your family possibly, or your family members or your children, are going to fulfill what we read in verse 3, where he will cut off both the righteous and the unrighteous, meaning that if you're not doing your homework, that the innocent members of your family could be part of the statistics. Doug and Joe, I cannot make it any more plainer in how serious this thing is. We have to get under Psalms 91, but it doesn't happen by being a flaky Christian. Psalms 91 is not non-negotiable. Psalms 91 is a lifestyle. He that dwells in the secret place. You got to hang out there. You're familiar with it. It's common to you. The secret place of God, on our knees, seeking him, the prayer closet, crying out to him, looking in the mirror, repenting. God, whatever you see in me that's not right, show me and give me the strength to overcome. Whatever it is, listener, if you have a stronghold, you're in bondage, whatever it is, if it's a sexual sin or if it's a Medicaid, you're addicted to drugs or alcohol, or maybe you're just a bad person that's taking it lightly. We need to change it, and God can do it. There is hope, because as this judgment takes place over the land, it's going to be brought to pass. And we can read that the end of verse 7. Behold, it is coming and shall be brought to pass. Now let's move on, because I have more things I want to share. Verse 8. Again the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Here it is again, gentlemen. A sword. A sword is sharpened. It is also polished. I'm going to stop for a moment. Several years ago, I had a prophetic dream. I saw the Statue of Liberty, and the hand of God came through the clouds holding onto a sword. Doug, I believe I shared this on your program last time, and it was God's hand holding onto a sword, and it chopped the head off. Do you remember sharing that?
Yep.
The sword of God?
Yeah.
Okay. God showed me that in a glimpse, and now here we have confirmation. When God judges, his sword plays a role, and God sharpens it and polishes it. And then watch this, verse 10, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter. Ladies and gentlemen, as the demons of hell desire to turn America into a police state, there needs to be a slaughter. That's why when I hear people say they're actors with fake blood, no, 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 no. They don't care if they kill the innocents. They don't care if they shed blood. They don't care if they butcher and maim and destroy. Satan wants this. He loves the blood sacrifice of the innocents. That's why I don't want, like to go there, that it's not real, etc. Satan loves reality, and the reality means dead bodies. That's the part I cannot say too many. I have to make it very clear. We're going to have a body count, ladies and gentlemen, and God is going to allow it because America deserves it. The slaughter.
Yeah. It's right. Nathan, it's, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but it's kind of like the Maypole celebration, if people are familiar with that. And you're dead on accurate about the satanic nature of the blood sacrifice. And I would urge all listeners to really research that, because that plays an important role in what Mr. Liel is talking about, the blood sacrifice, the dancing around the maypole, the children being sacrificed, getting cut off at the knees, all of this is related and scripturally found in scripture as Mr. Leal is talking. Go ahead, Mr. Leal.
Okay. Verse 10, sharpen to make a dreadful slaughter. Now, the next line in verse 10 has something very, very interesting. This passage of Scripture is a twin passage, a cross-reference passage, a sister passage that goes along with what Jeremiah saw. And this applies to America. Now, keep that in mind with what I'm about to say. Sharpen to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. I'm reading from the New King James. The King James says a glimmer. But polished to flash like lightning. If we look at the word for lightning, if you have your concordance, if you have your computer Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that word lightning, the sword has been allowed, God brought it out, to flash like lightning. That word lightning in the original Hebrew is called Barak. B-A-R-A-Q, Barak. Now, the sword has been pulled out to judge the land of America to flash like Barak, meaning that Obama is not an accident. Barack Obama is going to be used as part of the judgment against America. God is using him as his lightning bolts. And because he's going to allow Obama to be used by him, Doug, we saw what happened in the Nazi era, what Satan was able to do with a human that did not follow God. Mr. Obama, you asked me earlier, could these principalities be personified in some of the leadership? Time's going to tell. Time's going to answer that question. But when we can see the similarity, we can even see Barack's name in this prophecy. That's not a coincidence.
Wow.
Verse 10, polished to flash like Barack. So Mr. Obama's going to flash and be the lightning of judgment. Should we make mirth, meaning should we be happy? Should we be celebrating this? No, we should not. I see the clock. Let me move a little faster. Verse 11. He has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened. It is polished to be given into the hand of. Now, what is the lightning? Here's another word for him. The slayer. God's going to allow the slayer to slay. What that means is, when we look at these events happening, it's not just the humans that are doing this. God is allowing this thing. It comes from the very top. The commands, the orders are from the very top. And it's coming down the chain of command. And eventually, when the judgment occurs, God then allows the powers of darkness to be used as slayers. That's unfortunate, but that's the way that he's always done it. The slayers are going to walk to and fro across America, and the slayers can be some of these principalities that we've talked about. Now, when we look at Jeremiah 39:3 and 4, and then later on in 2 Kings 25, and I went into that, I also talked about Nebuzaradan, who was the butcher of Babylon. Nebuzaradan was one of the princes that played a role in bringing the destruction to the people of Jerusalem. And according to history, Nebuzaradan, who was Nebuchadnezzar's butcher, was responsible for killing over 14,000 people when they would raid villages and spread the empire of Babylon. This guy, Nebuzaradan, was known as the butcher. He was the cook. He burned them at the stake. He burned them. He was the person that tore down the walls, and he burned the city and the villages. There are demonic entities that butcher, and God's going to allow these butchers to play a role in the destruction of America, and we see it right here in verse 11. This continues to confirm and verify what we spoke about months ago, Doug and Joe. Now, verse 12, cry and wail. For it will be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Look at that word right there, gentlemen. Terror, including the sword, will be against my people. What does terror mean? Terrorism. So how is the slayer going to use the judgment against God's people? He's going to use terrorism. This is talking about America also. So we have Barack mentioned, we have slaying, we have the cities burning coming from the south, we have invasion, and now we have terror mentioned in verse 12. Is this a coincidence? No. Verse 12, it is for a trial, a testing. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, to find out where your faith is. It's going to happen to find out where your trust is. Do you trust in man and the arm of the flesh, or are you going to depend on God? A lot of people are going to be exposed in this thing that's coming. Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy, strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword do double damage. That means that we're not done, gentlemen. Doug, Joe, we are not finished. The phases will continue. And it says three times here, so does that mean the Boston bombing was the third time? No, we're just getting started. And as they progressively get worse, the damage is going to get worse. We see it right here. It is the sword that slays. It is the sword that slays great men that enters their private chambers. Moving on. Now, this next part I'm about to read is going to entail, listener, this is going to require some homework from you. And Doug, I've started examining this, and based on what I see here, it's very disturbing. But when we had our program several months ago, we talked about the portals, the gateways, right? The gateways to hell opening up and these spirits come through. Also, we talked about in the natural, we have them entering into the gates of Babylon. Look at verse 15. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates. Now let's stop for a moment. Let's talk about America. That word gates, when we look at the meaning, means exactly that. It means the gate of an entrance. It means the space inside. It means the entrance to a city, to a town, to an area. It also means port. It means a door. So when we look at America, I have set the point of my, this is God talking. The sword is going to go against all gates. And let's add America to that. To America. All the gates. Now, what does that mean? Now, we know in the natural, the princes came in, the portals were open, and the demonic creatures did their invasion. But now let's look at it in the natural. Because we're talking about natural events here as far as war and attack. The gateways of America, when we consider how many areas of America are considered gateways in the natural. For example, Seattle is known as the gateway to the Northwest. The Bay Area is known as the gateway to the Pacific. Hawaii is known as the gateway to the Pacific. And if this verse is saying all the gates, the sword is going to attack the gates, how possible is it that some of the actual gateways of America are going to be in the crosshairs, in the coming attack, or in the terrorist attack that's coming, the false flag, or the invasion, or whether it's North Korea, Germany, China, whatever it is, the gates of America will be attacked. So let's consider this. Seattle is a gateway. The Bay Area is a gateway. Los Angeles is has gateway cities. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. New York is known as the gateway to freedom. And it's also known as the gateway to America. Also, New Orleans is known as the gateway to the Americas because of the port from Mississippi. All that 500 million tons annually come down the Mississippi, and then it's shipped worldwide to South America and then to the world. So New Orleans is known as a gateway. And I could go on and on. So how many other gateways are there? St. Louis, gateway to the West. So if a city is a gateway, this is the part that we need to consider. Is it possible? And Doug, how interesting is it? I saw in a prophetic dream Seattle get attacked. I saw a missile explode over Seattle. I saw a missile explode over Hawaii.
That's right.
Henry Gruber has seen the same thing, same places.
Yes, he has.
Dimitri Dudeman,
yep.
Similar things. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's your homework. What other gateways are there? But we can read it right here in verse 15. God's going to allow the sword to go against the gate. Why? That the heart may melt and many will stumble. Now, moving on, I've got to move quickly. Verse 16. swords at the ready. Now, as I stated earlier, Doug and Joe, the left-right paradigm, Democrats, Republicans, is a lie. It's theater. And both sides blame each other. They point fingers to one another, and then you have the citizens who believe only one side is right. But at the end of the day, both sides are wrong, because look what it says in verse 16. Swords at the ready, thrust to the right, and then set your blade and thrust to the left, wherever the edge of the sword is bordered. So both the left and the right are going to be judged, and they're going to feel the point and the tip of the spear of God's judgment. Now, we can look at that politically, and we can also look at it east to west. From the eastern part of America, the east coast, Atlantic, to the west. We can also look at it that way. I will also beat my fist together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, in summary, ladies and gentlemen, what does this mean? Well, when we look at the prophecies, not only the ones that I have shared, but as I mentioned, Doug, you've had others, and you're familiar with some of the others. Right here, we can read about the invasion coming from the south. What does that mean? What does that mean from the north, from the east to the west? What does that mean? What do the gateway cities mean? What does it mean when we see terrorism mentioned? What does it mean when we see Barak mentioned, the slayer, the judgment? The bottom line and the summary is to, the only way we can conclude, ladies and gentlemen, is that America is in trouble. And once again, it's not going to be stopped because they've had their chance. And it's our duty now to find the mercy of God on an individual basis for your house, for your loved ones, and for those that God has entrusted under you. Now, Doug, I believe you've had some of the other gentlemen that have mentioned attacks, and possibly even maybe you've gotten intel that attacks can come to some of the cities that I've mentioned or from the south. Or this thing isn't a coincidence how it's all fitting together, but God is doing everything he can to warn us that this thing is real. And the lightning is going to come. Go ahead.
I got to say this, Nathan. I was talking with Holly Dale, Stan Dale's wife, Holly Dale, the author of Dare to Prepare, Prudent Places USA. I was talking with her today on the telephone. And she was talking about where in the United States is relatively safe and going through a number of things. But she did mention about, she referenced the attacks from the east, west, north, and south, and specifically from the south and from the north and from the very places you're talking about, is being referenced in several prophecies. And so I find it very interesting, the timing as well as the information which you're presenting. Once again, it's so.
And then also, I want to add this. I've never seen so much talk about something called Broken Arrow, a loose nuke. I think once before, maybe after 2001, there was a lot of talk about this around Bush's second term. But never have I seen it in the context used that it's going to hit a city. And people are saying this. I'm not sure where the information is coming from, but people are even asking us to ask you, you know, have you heard anything about specific dates and a loose nuke? And I think you kind of covered that, well, not the date part, but what you saw in your dreams as far as a nuclear event was concerned. And you said that's what it did look like in your dream. Can you expand on that anymore?
Well, Let me also, in verse 10, I mentioned that word means Barak, but on the surface, where it says polish to make a dreadful slaughter, polish to flash like lightning, in the natural, flash like lightning, an attack that a sword doesn't explode like lightning. So the judgment, whatever God's going to allow, is also, this thing has layers to it. Flash like lightning. That's what a nuclear cloud does, a mushroom cloud. As far as dates, I don't have that. God hasn't done that, but I just know that we're in the season where everything is changing. All the stops are now being pulled out. We're going to see the martial law events happen, and in order to get us to martial law, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 is martial law, so 1 and 1 are the terrorist attacks that need to happen, the false flag. And however they're going to do it, God's going to allow it. And it's going to be painful. So I know this isn't easy to hear, disturbing, but how else do we say it, gentlemen?
Well, I think you said it right.
Yeah.
Judgment is coming upon the land. It has already started, and we're just seeing the beginnings of it. And how the rest of the judgment will play out.
Yeah,
that will be revealed to each individual person as they seek it.
Exactly. And you know what, Mr. Leal, if you take, for example, even the Harbinger by Rabbi Kahn and everything we've seen, all of the evidence, if our audience is the jury, you just presented your case to the jury and did so very well. Now, it's up to the jury to decide, but I got to say, you know, very compelling, especially when you put it in the context of everyone else and all of the events. I mean, look around. Folks, look around you. Look what's really going on. And I think that this is what Mr. Leal is saying, too. Look around. The evidence is there. But not only look around, consult your Bibles. Consult the Scripture. Consult what's in consult the Word of God.
Most importantly, and first of all, yeah.
The signs in the
Nathan,
heavens,
we got a few minutes left.
Gentlemen, I have a feeling that possibly as the months progress, we're going to be looking upwards. There's some things that are coming.
Okay, now when you say that, I know we only have a few minutes left when you say looking upwards. Are we talking like a deception? Because people are asking about this. Are we talking about some sort of deception from above, perhaps?
Well, I'm talking about flying things from the heavens, meteors, comets, other things.
We've been hearing about that, and especially as we flew through here earlier this year we saw that meteorite in Russia, and we saw some other things happen in the sky. So I don't think we're done with that. And we've talked about this, and we agree with you. We're not done with it by any stretch of the imagination. The terrorist attacks are just beginning, shall we say. So we're getting it from, you know, all not only all sides, all dimensions,
exactly.
But even from above. Wow, man, I'll tell you, very powerful program you put on, a very powerful presentation. If people did take notes, and we urge people when listening to our program, take notes, you'll see how these dots connect that he laid out. Wow. The red train still bothered me. I got to tell you, the red train, I've got, that's kind of sticking with me. When you first mentioned it on the telephone off air, I was thinking about that, and that's troublesome to me.
And time's going to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think we have to really, you know what, folks, really about the only thing I can say, and Joe would agree with me on this because we've talked about this, is go to Nathan's website, thewatchmanscry.com. That's thewatchmanscry.com. And spend some time there. Go through the information that he has painstakingly mapped out for you. In the final moments of this program, Mr. Leal, any closing thoughts, anything that you would like to add, kind of like the exclamation point to this sentence that has been this program?
Oh, man. We're there. We're there.
We're
There's
there.
No going back. We're there. It's game on.
All right. And that it is. It is game on. And you know what? It's program off because we are now facing the last 60 seconds of our show. I'll tell you what. We want to thank you so much for your time tonight, Mr. Leal.
Yeah, we want to have you back on as soon as you would like to come back on.
Well, I appreciate it, gentlemen.
This is a work in progress. Yeah, this is a work in progress, folks, and I would urge everyone, once again, I would urge everyone to visit thewatchmanscribe.com, and that's linked right to directly from HomelandSecurityUS.com. Mr. Nathan Leal lays it all out there for you. He laid it out for you tonight. Let those with ears hear and use your spiritual discernment, but my goodness, Mr. Leal, we owe you a debt of gratitude for your time. Thank you for being a watchman. Thank you for being that watchman.
Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. I appreciate it. God bless.
Oh, God bless you, sir. Have a great night. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the second day of May 2013. We want to thank you for your patience, for joining us, for your sticking with us, and for all of your emails. God bless you.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we want to thank Mr. Liao.
Once again.
What a great show that was tonight, and we're going to try and get that up on YouTube as soon as possible. The archive should be available shortly. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.